Blog Talk Radio.
You couldn't bang anybody. What is going on? Yeah. Who's playing ABBA? That's my entrance music. Change your mind. Here we are on the last Chicago for now, for a while.
You're here on a very special night.
Yeah, www.thematthewaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on Facebook, whatever else I have to plug, I forget. Bruce Fretz will be joining us in a little bit. He just announced that Gilbert Gottfried's going to be on SVU this year.
Gilbert Gottfried is going to be on SVU. That sounds like a perfect...
I've heard worse from better.
Good.
Introduce yourself.
Liga Preyas, hello.
And
Michael Terzo.
And we'll be joined by about 30 other people.
The
I
whole
think.
Gang's here tonight, everybody. All your favorites.
Steve Weirich here. How you doing?
Wait, everyone got to say hello?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Pat DeStefano from Mr. Beef and Pizza in North Harlem.
Oh, okay, that's great.
All right.
The beef's better than the pizza.
Anyone else done being annoying?
Everything's good. Alex Luisi.
Two Eyes.
Yeah.
Two Eyes.
Charles, go ahead.
Chuck Salvatore, hire me. I hate my job.
And my producer, Cesar Marconi, who makes everything work.
And Bieber is with us, too.
Bieber. Nick Spies is here. And I am on the phone, I believe. What do I got here? Who's on the phone here?
Mr. Lenny Cannata will be arriving shortly.
Is this Mr. Ranji?
I think so.
Hello, Chris. How you doing? Chris Ranji, the voice of the Chicago White Sox, if you ask me. I don't know.
I actually kind of love the idea of not having any idea who's calling in. So I think from like you have to deal with. So I'm thinking from now on, I don't want to take any names. I'm just going to say, okay, who is this? Go.
Yeah, that's what I do, because then I can hang up on people I don't like real quick.
Oh, well. But then what does that say about me, that I know their names, where they're calling from, and I probably recognize them, and I still talk to them?
Yeah, you got some stalkers, Chris. I can't even look at your Facebook page anymore. It's too much.
Neither can I.
I just love when Chris posts something on Facebook. He'll post something about, like, U2, right? His favorite song from Joshua Tree. And someone will be like, yeah, what about that fucking Ozzy Guillen? Why the fuck is he in Miami now, huh? What's up with that Ozzy Guillen? Dude, he's trying to talk about U fucking 2. Shut the fuck up!
Well, don't you realize that's all I know is White Sox baseball.
That's all you know. You're Mr. Baseball. That's it.
That's all.
You
must have all no I know.
Interest. People think you have no life. Like you're in the U.S. cell all day, all night.
Well, that doesn't mean I have a life. Just because I know other things doesn't mean I've got a life. I'm just saying that people assume that I don't know anything else. But I understand. I mean, that's all they hear of me, and that's all they know. And you know, anytime I post something that's borderline political or 100% political, they get angry about that. Stick to baseball.
Yeah, I've noticed the Sox fans have quite a few Republicans, I think. I think there's quite a few conservatives on that South side.
And then there are quite a few Republicans and conservatives and all people that should be Democrats. Because they would be, well, probably benefited a lot better, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
You ask them, Pat. Ask them.
It's just baseball.
Well, would you ask? Ask them. Pat has a question.
We got a full boat tonight,
you.
Chris.
Yeah,
we got,
so. Pat, wait, first of all, how many people are in the room right now?
There's at least 10. There you go.
How you doing?
At least 10? Okay, who am I allowed? Who am I speaking? I mean, how many people will have the ability to talk to me?
Hopefully not many. But here's Pat DeStefano, owner of Mr. Beef on North Harlem.
How you doing?
Yeah, perfect. Good. Hey, what's going on, Pat?
Here's I hanging in there. Now, what do you do, play-by-play for the Sox?
You don't even know what the fuck he does?
I don't know.
Wow. Well, no, I don't. I mean, I've filled in, but I don't do it primarily, no.
I just walked down into the basement, but a friend of a friend, his name's Dan Flood. He runs spring training for the White Sox. You know,
I know Dan Flood.
Really nice guy. I was just curious.
Flood's the best. Flood is, he's a machine, too. That guy can put it away.
Yeah.
He can put it away. He can sleep for like 45 minutes. And those guys, especially when it's either spring training or, you know, they have other stuff that goes on throughout the year. There's a fantasy camp that happens in January, too. And that guy has to be there at like 5 a.m. And he can put it away until about 4:30 and then get to work at 5. And they have to stay there until like 7 at night. I don't know how he does it, but that guy's a machine.
Oh, he's a machine. That's what he's actually a friend of mine. His brother married in the Flood family, and they go down there every year for spring training. And they say he's just a
Pat, wonderful. You are lighting up my audience's interest right now about you and the fucking Flood family.
Hey, I know this guy who knows a guy. Do you know him?
Yeah.
Actually, you know, hey, Matt, if you're going to take this show to L.A., which apparently you are, you should make that a segment. Do you know this guy that knows a guy that I know? That should be the name of your segment, where just people call in and they say, hey, I know a guy that knows somebody. Do you know him? And then you either say yes or no, and then you move on to somebody. It's a very specific thing. Like, really, the audience is two. So however many people are listening, everyone else is going to be uninterested, except for you and the person that's talking to you.
That's why I started hiring non-Italians.
It's a terrific way to do a show.
It can't be any worse than what we're doing.
No.
Well, sure it could.
Pat, is that all you got about Dan Flood over there? Oh, you got more. You got more on Dan Flood. He's not even from Chicago. What don't you know about Chris Ranji other than everything?
I just walked in the basement. I just got out of the
You mean the studio?
He is the voice of the Chicago White Sox. There you go.
I believe
he's from St. Louis. Chris, is that right?
Really?
Yeah, just southern Illinois, just outside.
Okay.
Granite City is the name of the town.
Well, you got to come by us and grab a beef.
That's too far.
You ain't going to get no celebrity discount, Chris. Don't worry about it. He actually charges his friends.
Oh, well, I'm not going.
You now.
I refuse to pay for beef or dogs.
Chris, I only have one baseball question for you because we are in Chicago, and I'm sure people want to know this. Theo Epstein, last time I checked, he doesn't swing a baseball bat, right? He doesn't catch.
He does not. He does not swing a baseball. I'll tell you what. Like I understand both sides of this.
Yeah.
I think there are actually very few people, and the people, well, Cubs fans anyway, that aren't all that excited. Probably the people that are not excited are White Sox fans because right now the glory does not belong to them. And, you know, rightfully in this town it should not right now because they didn't really accomplish anything this past season.
Yeah.
And the Cubs made a pretty good hire. I mean, you're right, he's not going to win them any titles. But what he'll do is, well, he should anyway, put them in pretty good position from, you know, here on out. Because what he's doing is he's coming from a situation that when he went in is really similar to this situation with the Cubs in Chicago. I mean, he had a team that has a lot of resources. He can allocate them however he wants. And they had that whole cloud of not winning for 90-100 years hanging over them. It was the same sort of thing. So,
right.
You know, they're very similar situations. He should thrive in that. Now, like, not all GMs do they're not all perfect, and they're not all good in every kind of situation. You know, there are some that are better when they don't have to worry about a payroll, when they know they've only got, like, $50 million to work with. They're good in that regard. But then when you give them a ton of money to spend, they don't know what to do with it because they've got too much, and they wind up spending it stupidly.
Yeah.
So I don't think all GMs are good in all situations, but for that one, he's good. That's a perfect spot for him.
Oh, no, and I agree. It's just, you know me, I always let people calm down a little. Calm down. Let's wait and see. Because here's my theory on it. He can't be that much smarter than Jim Hendry, can he? Like that much where it's going to make like a 10-20 game difference? Because last I checked, they were like 20 under this year.
Well, here's the truth about baseball. And this goes for most sports, but baseball in particular, because there isn't a cap and there isn't an amount of money that, you know, they don't limit how much you can spend. But it's all about money. I mean, what you do, and people always look at just the major league payroll, and they say, well, Yankees spent $200 million, and they didn't win it. Well, that's not the whole story. The story is the more money you have to spend on the major league payroll means you can make more, and actually the minor league level, too, means you can make more mistakes. You can go get that top free agent. If that guy doesn't work out, then you just go get somebody else next year. But if you are a smaller franchise, if you're one of those middle-tier teams, or if you're a team like the White Sox, who actually spend a ton of money but don't make that much, really, you have to be careful with the money that you spend. And the Sox have a couple of bad contracts out there right now, unless those guys like Peavy and Dunn start to perform in Rios, too. But
yeah.
Unless you have, I don't want to say unlimited resources, but unless you have a lot of resources that you can spend at the major league level and minor league level, there's no way to be a competitor every year. There's only one reason that Boston and the Yankees and now, you know, Philadelphia and the Angels can compete every year. That's because they can spend a lot of money at the major league level, and they can spend on the draft, and they can spend in international scouting. The White Sox have, like, zero international scouting budget. I mean, they do hardly any, and because of that, what happens is like some of those guys, but in the Latin countries now, where a lot of great players are coming from, they are now aware. You know, it used to be where you threw them a couple of bucks and they couldn't wait to get here, but now they're savvy enough down there that they know what teams spend the money and what teams are worth, giving your time to them to look at you. So the Sox go down to say the Dominican Republic. they don't even get to see the top 20% of talent down there because the agents and the handlers don't even let them see those guys. So, I mean, it's all about money. The minor league level, what you can spend on the draft, what you can spend on facilities and camps, international scouting, all that stuff. And then on, you know, like the contracts to the players, you know, because the danger is for teams like the Sox, well, you can spend over slot, which means like paying for people who don't really watch baseball, means you can spend more than what the guy's worth. That's a danger for a team like the White Sox because they might get a guy that never even sees the field in the majors. So you've spent maybe $1 million, $2 million on some dude that never plays for you ever. It's not like basketball or football where you draft these guys, they're playing the next year on your team.
It was
totally different. So
it was pretty close with Vicieto. He's in his last year next year, isn't he?
Yeah, and people, here's what's funny is that at the beginning of last season, I even had people who, you know, there are a lot of fans that don't really pay attention to the minors. All they care about is what is up here.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that said to me, you know, whether it was on the show or email, Vicieto's a bust because they had signed him a couple of years prior and he hadn't been up here yet. You know, I mean, this guy's a, and then several months later, he's tearing it up. And he's knocking the cover off the ball in the minors, and then everybody says, well, he should be up here immediately.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's you know, you don't really know how a guy's going to progress. He might go from being amazing when he first gets to rookie ball to he hits a wall when he gets to double A or something. Or other guys, you know, for whatever reason, they find it. You know, Daniel Hudson was one, you know, the pitcher that they traded for Edwin Jackson last year.
Yes.
He came out of nowhere.
He had a good year. Yeah.
He did, and he came out of nowhere, too. He went from A-ball to double-A to triple-A, and it was like...
But look at Pareda.
Really
bad. Look at Pareda with the Padres. He hasn't done anything. It's all hit and miss.
No, he stinks.
It's hit and miss.
Right.
So,
right.
Back to more important things, me. Should I make friends with Helena Bonham Carter on Facebook?
I think you should.
Why are you debating it? I don't understand why you're debating it.
Well, she looks pretty creepy in this picture with Tim Burton on her profile here.
She's creepy.
Has she friend requested you?
No. I'm thinking of just adding her and stalking her down. Are you eating my Enemans? Like, those are my frosted devil donuts. You ate them all! They're pretty much all
gone. There's one left.
I'm not inviting you fucks anywhere. Hey, Terzo.
Pat, stop
Terzo.
Staring at me like
Terzo, do me a favor. Tell Mr. Ranji here your workout regimen and your diet. Okay. He hangs out with a lot of athletes, and you say, since I don't know anything about science, 400-pound Cartman here is eating protein. He had 3 protein shakes today, like he needs more protein.
Yeah, well,
he should eat protein donuts.
he's going to shit a lit road flare.
Oh,
Jesus. Go ahead, Terzo.
No,
share your little story.
Matt seems to have a problem.
Talking to the microphone.
Matt seems to have a problem with understanding that when you go to the gym and you lift weights, that you need protein to help build muscle. He just thinks it's just like beef up juice.
Mikey, you are 400 pounds. You have the muscle in you already. You don't need 3 protein shakes a day. Trust me.
Well, see, no, he has to because what'll happen is his body is just going to eat the muscle he does have if he doesn't keep replenishing it with tasty protein shakes. And he has to have 12 per day, otherwise he might die.
Charles, you got something?
Man, this is also the kid when giving me dieting advice told me that once a week you're supposed to have a cheat day and have 5,000 calories.
Was it 5 or 6?
I think it was 6.
What are you, Michael Phelps? 5,000 calories.
He looks like Michael Phelps.
He has 5,001 bite.
Mikey, what was your weight on the scale this week? Be honest.
I'm about 378.
No.
Hold on.
Yeah.
No, are we really talking about a person? Because I can't see y'all.
Oh,
we're
talking
about a person with actual mass.
Chris, I was.
Yeah. This isn't the Loch Ness Monster.
Are we really talking
about a
person?
I was 425, and then I dropped down to 315.
Oh, when was this?
When was this?
When were you 315?
2 years
high
ago.
High school?
No.
Okay, continue.
Hey, pal, you're getting real fucking mouthy over there.
Oh!
Wow. Wow.
Continue.
Okay.
Sorry, Chris.
It's your story.
That's okay.
So I was 425, then I dropped down to 315, and then I settled right around 330 for a while. And then after back surgery, I shot back up to about 380, and right now I'm 378.
Are we really talking about muscle mass, or is this just mass?
No, I realistically, if I was like, you know, I went to the doctor. The doctor told me If I was about 10% body fat, I'd be right around 285, 290. So I got some weight to lose, but I'm not a small person.
How tall are you?
Huh?
How tall are you?
6 foot.
6 foot. Okay, 6 foot. You're a big dude.
Yeah, I wear a size 62 jacket. So I'm...
You gotta be shitting me, right?
No one's shitting me.
that's for real. Okay.
That's real, Chris.
I'm trying to visualize this here. But
trying to visualize.
Did you should meet my other
a 350 pound man, whatever it is, that's 6 foot tall. I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, Vince McMahon should be drafting you any day for the WWE, pal.
Are you top heavy? Is it all upper body?
Is it all boob?
Is it all boob?
I'm pretty big on all ends, actually. So, I mean, I definitely have more of a V-shape than a pear-shape, if that's what you're asking.
Pat,
okay.
Pat Tobias.
No, I wanted to know if you were just, as they say, working out the glamour muscles, and you don't even worry about your legs.
No. I used to do a lot of squats.
Okay.
I used to be able to squat about 800-900 pounds, but after the back surgery, I tried to stay away from deadlifts and squats.
Well, you know why you had to have back surgery? Because you're trying to squat 900 pounds.
There you go.
Or it could have
been. You're not supposed to lift cars. You're supposed to drive that.
Yeah, he picks one up and he just hurls it across the street.
Mikey, Pat Tobias, our booker wants you to know your layers upon layers of dormant, relaxed muscle.
You know, it's funny because Pat's never met me.
Well, he's seen you.
Yeah, actually, you've told that fat ass to get his ass out of the house and stop ordering Pizza Hut in on his birthday and thinking it's a fantastic meal. Maybe you could have a real conversation.
Thinking it's a fantastic
Mikey, getting a little defensive over there. Well, we're just talking about your workout regimen since you say I know
anyway,
no science.
Listen, Chris, we appreciate your counsel because Mike very does much care about his health.
Since Matt hasn't seen the inside of a gym since he was in middle school, I just wanted to say I think I appreciate your reinforcement here that protein shakes are a necessary evil when you're working out and trying to build muscle. Thank you.
It is. I don't do what you do, but I do know that it's necessary. You know, another thing that I've actually heard that some athletes are doing this, and tell me if you've heard this or not, but they're drinking instead of protein shakes because they believe that it's just as good to drink Oberweis chocolate milk after a workout.
Yeah.
It goes well with this devil food.
I'm not joking. Like they do that post-workout instead of doing a protein shake.
If they're the kind of people who are trying to bodybuild and they're naturally skinny and have a high metabolism, I can see them doing that because they need the calories to help try to put back on weight.
Tastes better.
Me, on the other hand, I need the protein, but definitely not the extra calories. And that and the glucose and the sugar from the chocolate milk will help rebuild things as well, but I'll usually just have like an apple.
Oh, God.
So.
Did you just say you usually have like an apple?
Yeah, because you do need some sugar. Sugar.
What was the menu tonight for dinner?
I'm talking about after a workout, pal.
Oh, you didn't work out today?
Yeah, and that was the first real meal I had all day.
Well, what was the...
You avoid carrots, don't you?
No,
unless they're stuffed in brajol.
Yeah, when you eat fast, that's my exercise.
See, you know what the funny thing about this, Chris, is? I'm probably one of the healthiest eaters here.
Oh!
Matt thinks a fantastic meal is White Castle and McDonald's. As a matter of fact...
You might be right about that.
Hold on. As a matter of fact, one of the people on our show, his mother wants to meet Matt before he takes her son out to L.A., and so she's going to buy him lunch at a real nice steakhouse, and Matt's response is... What the fuck do we need to go there for? I can have a perfectly good meal at McDonald's. Okay, because
here's something I need. I have to understand something now. Now, okay, Matt is taking people to Los Angeles with him, so I'm assuming that is voluntary because the mothers know, because mom knows about that, because usually if you're going to kidnap somebody and take them across state lines, you don't tell parents.
Yes, no. That's correct.
Yeah, mom,
so, I mean, they're aware of this.
Yes, well aware.
Okay. Mike, how come I'm not invited?
You're always invited, Chris. I told you to come out whenever you want. But Mikey, how can you really say you're the healthiest?
First of all,
in this
you
room?
Might
I
be.
I could be.
With
you,
a straight face.
You might
let's
be.
See, Matt, oh, actually, you're right. Chuck's got me.
He might be.
He's been on a good diet. Well, Steve over here eats with you, which means you guys are both fucked. Because your daily meal is between McDonald's, Firehouse Subs, Jimmy John's, Jersey Mike.
I don't
you
eat
know,
Jimmy John's. Don't get offensive.
My diet,
Portillo's, you know.
My diet is chaos.
The 5 packs of cigarettes.
I once ate 60 Wendy's chicken nuggets. I'm not kidding. 12 five pieces.
Oh, you don't smoke?
At once?
Not like you.
Yeah, at once.
In the same sitting. You had that.
Yeah. It was a, we had.
I do know this. You can you and bodybuilder can get in on this. You're not supposed to do that.
Builder. No, I'm building my body, but I don't know what kind of way. That's for sure.
Let's build something together.
Lee, were you wearing your Home of the Whopper tidy whiteys when you were eating these?
I was not. No, this was years ago. We had just seen Cool Hand Luke, and we were trying to do something like the 50 eggs.
Chris, I do want you to know, Lee asked me once why this girl didn't like him when she walked in, and she walked in on him in his bedroom crying, wearing his tidy whiteys that say Home of the Whopper on them, with McDonald's dripping from his mouth onto his T-shirt.
I was drunk.
And
I
he
was in
wondered
my boxers.
Why she's not into him.
Yeah. No, Lee, I can't figure out why she didn't find you attractive.
No, I know.
That's just the mystery.
I have McNuggets all over my stomach.
And usually when there's no bulge in something that says Home of the Whopper, it's false advertising.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's making me think of a story that I can't remember the entire story, but I think the beginning part of it is funny enough, and it didn't even happen to me. It actually happened to a guy who was he was an intern for the Score, and this was and he was telling me a story about his friend who was from the Chicago suburbs, came down to ISU to visit him, because he went to ISU too, but came down to visit him one weekend, and our intern stayed in on, I think it was like a Friday night. He stayed in, his buddy went out, and so our intern went to bed at one point, and his buddy comes back home late after having been to the bars and drinking and all that stuff. And so our intern is sleeping and wakes up to his friend, and he was like in a bunk bed in kind of a dorm situation. He was in a bunk bed, and he said he wakes up to his friend on the lower level watching TV, had two sacks of McDonald's, and he was crying. And the intern got down and was like, "What the hell's going on here?"
Yeah.
And went down there and said, "Hey, buddy, what's the matter?" And the story begins with the kid saying, "First of all, bro, I'm not gay." And that's how it started.
You ask him. Charles has a question.
Charles, come on.
Charles.
Yeah. Yes.
That is
Charles.
That is a great story.
There's a lot more to it, but I can't remember all of it. And I feel like I wouldn't even do it justice if I
probably,
did. Well, okay.
Probably good that you can't.
I will tell you this part. What I do remember is there is a bar that is known for allowing homosexuals and not allowing them. Now, like, they're not allowed to go in, but it's a predominantly gay bar,
right.
You know, and that's where most of the gay folks go when they hang out. And there's one bar in Bloomington. It's called the Bistro. He must have gone down there with other people.
Oh, he went down.
And so he's telling the intern the story about how this, you know, they're all drunk and this guy's doing body shots off of him. And he's thinking to himself, this is weird, this isn't right. And then he said some dude came up to him and started making out with him. And, you know, the intern says, just, you know, looks at him dumbfounded and says, "Well, how long did that go on for?" And the kid goes, 3 or 4 minutes. Because you can't.
Way
you
past
know, it's
the
not po- a, it's not an accident after 10 seconds, I
right,
think.
Right.
4 minutes is way past.
Yeah,
please.
Past the point of what's going on here. Stop it, please. I don't like
it. But I mean, the funny part is not that he was making out with a dude, it's that he was crying eating two bags of McDonald's, that the only way you can get McDonald's that time of night is to drive through, which he obviously didn't have a car, which means he walked through the drive through and stood there.
Well,
and then came back home and started crying and eating it. I think there's a website out there. It's hilarious. There's nothing funnier than people crying and eating. There's a website called cryingwhileeating.com or something like that. Now, the idea is a lot funnier. The idea of the website is a lot funnier than the actual website, because if you think about people eating and crying, it's hilarious. But I don't. A lot of them are faking crying while they're eating, and that's not.
Somebody has to be in on that.
But if you could catch somebody crying and actually eating while they're crying, it is that. I mean, that's really funny.
I have a smooth transition. Since we're talking about gays, crying, whatever, Chuck has a question about Joe Colley for you.
Hey, Chris, sorry. Microphone fell. My question is with Joe is, sometimes do you think... Sorry, I have a moron next to me.
Which side?
Is he trying to tickle you?
Touche. Sometimes, like, I know a couple times lately Joe Colley's been blamed of it. Do you think sometimes these beat reporters make themselves a story by some of their stuff?
Well, he is not a beat reporter anymore. He's a columnist. And it's kind of his job to, you know, to stir it up a little bit, but... he hasn't really said a whole lot that is totally far off. I mean, the one thing that he has said, and actually I'm not even sure he said this, but maybe this was the tone that a lot of people took from it while reading it, and that was the column a couple of weeks ago about Don Cooper and Cooper's problem with Ozzy and whatever it was. But a lot of people took it as Cooper helped force Ozzy out, which isn't true. Because, I mean, Cooper doesn't have that kind of power. He doesn't have that kind of authority to have the manager fired or have him pushed out. So, there isn't a whole lot in there that's inaccurate. I mean, a lot of the quotes and a lot of the things that you hear, I don't think it's totally far off. But one thing that I think is false is people assume that he's getting everything from Ozzy. Well, he's not. I do know some of the sources he's getting it from. It's not Ozzy and it's not Ozzy's family. You'd actually be kind of surprised where a couple of the sources are coming from. But I mean, it's kind of his job. You know, he's a columnist, and that's what columnists do. They stir it up, and that's what he's doing. I mean, there are a lot of things here that you can just kind of leave alone, but when you find something out, you know, with the way media is now, those become stories. You know, to know that there are personal conflicts going on. I think most Sox fans now, though, are just kind of tired of hearing about it. They're ready to move on.
Yep.
You know, new era, let's see what happens. But yep. I can tell you this. I don't think Cowley likes Kenny. I mean, personally, he doesn't like him. And I think that Kenny does rub some people the wrong way, and maybe actually a lot of people. I have no problem with Kenny. I get along with him just fine. Sometimes he can be a little abrasive, but...
Him and Joe are both very strong type A personalities, too. So that may have something to do with it, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it can. And I think that a lot of it also has to do with what will happen is sometimes with a columnist, it doesn't really happen as much with a reporter, but with a guy who's paid to give opinions, if he tries to talk to you, you know, if he tries to talk for whatever, you know, if he tries to talk to Kenny or any other sports figure and the guy blows him off or tells him no or makes it a point to say, I'll talk to anybody but you, you can pretty much guarantee that what the columnist is going to do is anytime he gets a chance, he's going to tear your ass, tear you a new one. And I think that probably is kind of what's happening here. I think that Kenny won't talk to Joe and Don Cooper won't talk to Joe because of something that happened. I think it was either last year or the year before there was a little conflict there. So, I mean, anytime that happens, you just have to keep that in mind. If you're a sports figure and a columnist, if somebody tries to talk to you and get a quote, get an interview, and you tell them no, but you don't do it kindly, or you're mother effing them somehow, they're gonna blast you. The first chance to get an opportunity, they're going to.
Yeah, how did Kenny get in the series premiere of Boss, by the way? Was funding that low on that show? Oh, yeah. They couldn't get, like, real star on the show?
You know, I don't really know how that happens. I know that Kelsey Grammer threw out the first pitch this year.
I was there then. I was there.
It was a Cubs game. It was a Sox-Cubs.
Yeah, it was the one that was raining pretty bad. That's the one that the tornado hit.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't know because I was in a bar. Because they usually have me in a bar.
I was listening to you during the rain delay.
Where was I?
I forgot. Oh, I remember.
I don't remember.
I remember. This is weird. But you left a bar and went to the stadium, and then I think you went back to the bar.
I can't even remember where I was. I have no idea. But they usually have us at a bar, you know, so people can come drink and forget things.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Well, I was, yeah, so Kenny got into the series premiere Boss, which I wasn't that enthralled with the show so far. I don't know what
it was Bruce okay. It was okay. I'd like to see a second one.
All right. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm going to watch like three or four of them, and if I don't get into it, I'm not going to get into it. Oh, yeah. Steve Weirich, my co-host and co-writer, is in episode 6. He plays a cameraman with no lines, but he's there. He's there.
I'm a blur.
You're a blur.
He's in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that doesn't mean I'm
episode 6, that's what he's going to be in?
Yeah. Should I throw you a little party for your first on-air role? These pretzels are making you thirsty? You and Mario Van Peebles were elbowing to elbow on each other? They were. Mario, I knew Mario directed a lot of the show, so I asked Steve, was it Gus Van Sant? And it was Gus. He's probably grabbing your ass. Or was it Mario Van Peebles? Well, here's Bruce Fretz now of TV Guide. Bruce, what's your review of Boss so far?
I was not that impressed by it.
No Project Runway?
No Project Runway, no. you know, it just felt like old news to me. Like, oh, there's corruption in Chicago politics.
Someone should do a TV show about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Chris Ranji's with us, the voice of the Chicago White Sox. So let me introduce you two. I couldn't get Craig Bierko for you, Bruce, but...
Oh, thank you.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I was not wanted here tonight.
Oh, you were totally wanted, but I really want to bring Craig and Bruce together, and Bruce isn't letting it happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
Why not? I feel like there's a backstory here that I should know.
No, I've never really, you know, trashed him, but I've never really said anything particularly nice about him in print either. So I don't know. I don't think we're going to get along. I just have a feeling.
Unhitched wasn't your favorite television program?
Unhitched, yeah. I did kind of jeer that show, but
the theme of today's show is bringing people together. So that was supposed to be the main event.
Yeah.
It was between you, Bruce, and Craig.
Well, I'm bringing people together. Plus, in case Chris ever wants to leave the sports business, I'll introduce him to some TV people.
Yeah.
Chris can get out of that biz.
You'll transition easily. You got a good
boy. But you know what's funny is the difference is where Chris gets egged on his Facebook wall all the time about sports all the time, about baseball. Bruce could post about the New Jersey Transit and someone will make a TV joke.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to Bruce's Facebook page and I'm going to comment on one of his posts and it's going to be a White Sox question. Because that's what it's going to have nothing to do with anything White Sox related, but that's what I'm going to ask you about.
Right.
Bruce, are you a White Sox fan?
No.
Not so much, no.
He's a Nationals and Mets fan.
Oh,
that's
well.
Right.
Nationals and Mets. How do you do that, Bruce? They're in the same fucking division.
I know, but neither of them has any chance of winning it, so there's nothing to lose.
Oh, he's an underdogs fan. He's a Rocky-type fan.
Yeah. Well, you know, those Nationals, they could get better with some money.
Yeah.
They could. They got a good core. They got some young players.
Yeah, if they sign Jose Reyes in the offseason, I think that could help them out a lot.
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be nice for you, Bruce. Good for
you.
Hey, by the way, Bruce, when are you going to come visit us out in L.A.? I hear you don't go out there anymore. You're too
good.
I
haven't been out there in a long time, no.
Yeah, you're too good.
No, no, I'm too cheap.
Too cheap?
Hey, don't worry, I wasn't invited either.
Oh, Chris, you're always invited.
Oh.
Don't you go out there for the L.A. games anyways?
You were hoping to patch things up between Craig and Bruce. You're going to have to patch things up between Chris and Bruce.
I know. Chris, what?
Oh, no. Hey, Bruce and I are fine. We're dogs. I'm talking about Aaron over there.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, listen, Chris.
You wasn't invited.
For some L.A. series, and we'll do some shows. You sit in. We'll have some fun.
All right, perfect.
I don't know if we're going to Anaheim, though. It may be Dodgers. I don't know if I'm going there for Anaheim. I don't know if I want to go to Anaheim. Though Dodger Stadium right now, I don't know if I want to go there either, from what I hear.
No, you'll get the crud beat out of you.
Yeah, I'll lose an eye. Yeah. And what did Ken Campbell say? Ken Campbell, he's an actor, very good actor. Him and his son went there in Cub jerseys, and they almost got beat up, some 10-year-old kid.
Good Lord.
He says
that sounds right, though.
I'm a Cubs fan, and I live on the South Side. I pretty much almost get beaten up every day.
That's not the reason you almost get beat up every day, Chuck.
What's that supposed to mean?
That means maybe you shouldn't hang out at bars called Touch of Class.
Or Touch of Pink.
Touch of Pink?
What is Touch of Class?
Chuck picked up this broad from Touch of Class.
Two blocks from Touch of Class.
Where is Touch of Class? Give us a location.
63rd and Austin.
And the C and the L.
Oh, that's why you deserve getting your ass beat, because you're down there.
And the C and the L are out on the sign, so it says touch ass. And Chuck once picked up a like 40-year-old broad who lives in a trailer there.
Hot.
She had teeth missing.
She did not have teeth missing.
No, this is my story, and I'm thinking.
By the way, the C and the L being out, that's not an accident. That is totally intentional.
No,
Chris has been there.
You know that's right. You know that's true, right? I mean, they probably went up there and they did whatever they had to do to disable those two. And then if the community, if somebody in the community wants to complain about it, they say, well, we didn't know. It just went out. No, it didn't went out. You did that on purpose. And I would have done the same thing, too, if I had that bar. My bar would be called Touch of Ass.
Touch of Ass.
Well, Chris, I think since you know Chicago pretty well, I got to say, I don't think there's anything with a touch of class anywhere near 63rd and Austin.
Well, I mean, you know, if you better be careful down there. Just be careful.
So Chuck brings this broad home from Touch Ass, and she lives in a trailer. You didn't bring her home. You went back to her trailer.
Right.
And they're, like, fucking next to the deep fryer, and you need a spatula to get her off of the hammock that she sleeps
Married
on.
Married with Children DVDs are blaring away.
And then Chuck has her drop him off because he doesn't want her to know that he lives with his parents. I mean, roommates. And he has her drop him off at some weird apartment complex, and he walks home. Have you ever seen that broad since then? Oh, was that Anal Beads broad?
No, that was not Anal Beads broad.
Oh, Chuck.
Anal Beads broad was when I was with you.
Chuck got with this one chick who had anal beads, and we don't know exactly what happened. But,
Chris.
She didn't have anal beads. She had a weird necklace, and Matt just keeps calling them anal beads.
It was fucking anal
Why
beads.
Do you love exploiting my sex stories all over this radio show every time I'm on?
Wait.
You know, there are some necklaces that do look that way. Right. Yeah.
Bruce, what do you think of Chuck hanging out in these kind of establishments?
With the anal beads. What color were they, brown? Oh.
Hey, this is an Ari Boston.
Oh.
Anal beads,
Chuck?
Hey, this is
Chuck, you don't need to hang out in these establishments.
I
By the way,
been there in forever.
I have another bone to pick with Bruce Fretz.
What?
Bruce, let's see here. What were you doing tonight? You were watching America's Next Top Model. Explain
Kathy this. Griffin was the guest judge. Come on, how can you miss that? They did the whole reality TV-themed photo shoot where the models were all dressed up as either Nene from The Real Housewives of Atlanta or Snooki from The Jersey Shore.
So the men were dressed up as Nene, and the short men were dressed up as Snooki.
No, this is the All-Stars edition of Top Model. These are the all the aging, embittered former contestants who've come back.
And then last night, or the other night, instead of listening to my fine program, you were watching Dancing with the Stars.
It was Broadway night, yeah.
Bruce, I gotta tell you, you're missing out here.
Well, you know, what can I say? I was flipping to the baseball game and the football game on the commercials, so I was trying to, you know.
Likely story.
Well, it was nice of the World Series to postpone Game 6 in honor of your final Chicago broadcast tonight. So.
Yes, that was very
it was
nice.
Nice of them.
Very nice of St. Louis to rain today. That was nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, St. Louis.
The Bears have a bye week this week because they thought that we were going to have a show that Sunday.
Yeah, so. Very nice of the Bears, too.
And Tony La Russa is still working on the phone problem.
Oh, is he? Oh, what was that anyways? Tony's just blaming people.
I think
you know what? I'll tell you what, I actually kind of believe that what happened was there was a miscommunication. I don't think that I don't think that anybody is so dumb that they just got the wrong guy warming up. I don't think that happened.
Yeah.
But what'll happen is the pitching coach will go and make the call to the bullpen. Not every time. It's not exclusive, but it happens a lot where he'll say, okay, go get somebody up, and then Dave Duncan will go back there and make the phone call. I mean, it happened here. Ozzy will do that with Cooper, and it'll probably be the exact same thing when Ventura's here. Managers usually don't call the pen. So wherever the miscommunication happened, it was probably between Duncan and their bullpen coach. I don't know how that happens. I mean, it's still Tony's fault. He's got to check. He's got to, and I know that they can't see down there, but he has to make sure. It's too important.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't, I mean, it's still his fault. It's still his mistake. Well, but I don't think he was the one that.
Fault. It's also the guy's fault that gives up the three-run jack. I mean, let's be honest
well,
here.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Well, I mean,
he's got an out. No one would even know about this story. No one would
know. Yeah, but, right. Well, I mean, another problem with it is that you've just, they had, what, they stranded 12 guys and 12 runners on base. You can't get a big hit. Well, you score two runs and you go 1-for-12 with runners at second and third or or you know, runners at second or third, then you're not gonna, you can't win that way. I mean, you have to get really lucky to win that way, and if you don't, then it's because you were terrible when it mattered.
Well, you know what, Lee, you had an interesting question for Bruce about twocrankyguys.com. Bruce and Brett Watson's movie review site.
Yeah.
And you said to me the other day, what?
Oh, I said, do they ever go to see anything that seems like it might
has
be good?
Potential.
Potential. Do they go to foreign films? Do they go to the Music Box? Do they go to see anything really interesting? And you said no, because then they can't be cranky, because they might rave about it too much.
That's not true. We've seen a few good movies that we thought would be good and turned out to be good. I mean, we actually liked a couple movies in a row this fall. We liked Moneyball.
I was going to... Chris, what he thought of Moneyball, if he saw it.
I liked it. I like it. I think that, I don't know how I feel, I don't know how I quite feel about Billy Bean, but I thought the movie itself was really good.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, it's an entertaining movie. It's harder to be cranky about an entertaining movie, but we managed to find ways. We mostly just start to insult each other in those cases. So, you know, we'll find a way.
So, Bruce, Jack and Jill, two thumbs way up. Is that what I'm hearing?
You know, we haven't seen it yet. I'm going in with an open mind. You never know. But, you know, are you going to be our guest crank on that? Or?
Oh, I'd love to be a guest crank. I'll make a deal with you, Bruce. If it sucks, I'm going to go on my Chase online bank account, and I'm going to send you $10. I'll be like, there you go, Bruce, because I am guaranteeing that Adam Sandler and Al Pacino hit one out of the park here.
Oh, please.
Jack and Jill's going to be that good. Oh, see? Open mind. You just said, oh, please. You just said, oh, please. That's not an open mind, Fred.
Well, I actually prefer for you to not go in with an open mind. What's the point of that?
Steve,
just go in assuming it's going to be terrible, because it probably is.
Oh.
It's always good to go in assuming that it's terrible, because then if it's not, you're pleasantly surprised. And,
right,
you know, sometimes you can enjoy things more that way.
What's with all these...
Hey, listen, that's the joy of being a pessimist, Bruce, because you can just... If you think everything's going to suck... And when it's great, you can say, well, this is terrific. But when it's terrible, you can say, see, I told you so.
Exactly.
So you win either way. It's perfect.
Set your hopes low.
Bruce,
no disappointment.
Bruce, yep. That's how he made his career.
Exactly.
That was one big I told you so on Bucky Larson, was it?
Steve, are you still a little fired up about Bucky Larson?
I have the ticket stub still.
It's pretty bad.
It sits in my wallet next to the overnight parking ticket I got for $25. Let me tell you, I need more to do in my life. I hold all these bad, terrible grudges.
Yes, you do.
A question for all of you, and I guess Bruce in particular, is how often do you go into a movie, and obviously you see a lot of them, but how often do you go into a movie or a show or whatever, and you just know that it's going to be awful? Like you just have this feeling because you've seen the previews and you can tell there's just no possible way this is any good.
Rarely.
And then you go in and it's actually pretty good. Does that ever happen?
Rarely. Because I don't.
Occasionally, but not too often.
Oh.
Okay.
Thankfully.
Because Bucky Larson is one that there's just no way that's good.
No.
You can tell by there isn't any way that's an enjoyable film. Is it like enjoyable bad though?
No.
No. No. And
that's the problem with bad comedy is you can't make fun of it. You know, like a bad drama, at least you can laugh at it.
Yeah.
The bad comedy,
yeah.
You just sit there in silence, you know.
He knew going into Bucky Larson, it looked no good. That is what I'm hearing here. I'm getting
yeah.
And you know what? Fretz also walked out on a movie. Gene Siskel didn't do that, except for Black Sheep. But Footloose is your Black Sheep, Bruce?
Oh, I walk out of a lot of movies. Are you kidding me?
You are a tough critic.
I've never walked out of a movie unless I was going to puke.
Yeah, you already spent the money.
I don't. I spent the money. I want to see how bad it gets.
You should have saw it.
Yeah.
So the day we were going to go see Bucky Larson, Steve and I, we were walking down the street hopscotching, and the big smile on Steve's face, he goes, this is going to be great. And it was the biggest turd I've ever seen. And it sucks because from Chris asked Bruce his point of view about that, but my point of view is, as someone who wants to be a working actor and a working writer,
yeah.
I'd rather not bash everybody that...
Right.
Puts out stuff,
yeah.
And it turns out it was a turd, and I couldn't lie about it.
No,
I can imagine for somebody who is trying to be in that business, and then you go see a shitty movie, you probably have to be sitting there the whole time going, okay, really? These fucking guys did this? Okay,
yeah.
They got a movie, and I can't even get a sniff?
Well,
that's
what Bruce.
That's just torturing yourself. I mean, you can only go to good movies, Matthew. You should not go to anything that's bad.
I know.
For
I
that
never,
reason alone.
Well, I saw Sandler's name on it. I thought I was safe.
I'm rarely put in that position. I make the excursions to go see things that are good. I saw The Interrupters, the Steve James documentary about inner city kids.
Oh, you are a homo.
No, that's
offensive to Dream. Homos. I'm sorry.
No, Take Shelter, the new movie with Michael Shannon's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
I'm seeing these.
Well, Michael Shannon is good.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
But like,
I hear he's on this show, Broadway Empire.
Yes. But it's just not good practice for actors and writers to shit on their peers. That's a good way for people to hate you.
Well, this is why I thought you wouldn't want to be the guest crank on Jack and Jill, because you want to suck it to Adam Sandler.
I am expecting Adam to hit this out of the ballpark, this movie. I saw the previews, and I was laughing harder than De Niro in Cape Fear.
It's true.
Terzo, you got a question?
Bruce, you got to help me out here. Speaking of Broadway Empire, can we... How can
Broadway Empire
yeah,
now?
Yeah, whatever you said there. How can we get Matt to watch Boardwalk Empire?
I'm going
to
watch it when
I have
time. I have
been on his ass about this for weeks now. It's like he thinks it's going to be a waste of his time. But he'll watch Dancing with the Stars, but he won't watch Boardwalk Empire.
I don't watch it all the time, Dancing with the Stars.
I don't know. He's got some kind of block about it. It's not going to be as good as The Sopranos or something. He's got some story about it, but
it's not supposed to replace The Sopranos.
Yeah, I mean, it's as good in a different way, I think, and he just doesn't want to believe that. I don't know what the problem is.
Watch it when I have time, Terzo. And better questions. Why don't you ask Bruce why he liked Drive?
Oh God, I don't even want to go there.
Oh, Lee liked Drive. Well,
I mean,
Lee.
Of course you like Drive. You go to the IFC Film Festival and you'll get passed out out of happiness. let me tell you something. I just Drive. I mean, if I would have read the script, I would have thought I was in a commercial. I mean, I thought. I will tell you this though. I will tell you this. Ron Perlman. Okay,
Albert Brooks.
Yes, they were all outstanding.
Albert Brooks, Bryan
Cranston.
Oh, Bryan Cranston. Yeah. Awesome. I mean, the acting was so good, I'm more upset with the fact that there wasn't more of it.
There was no script?
Nothing.
It was a little slow.
Oh, it was minimalist?
And the music was getting a little out. I mean...
Oh, yeah. I felt like I was in an Arab nightclub.
Oh.
A Persian nightclub, that whole movie.
Yeah, terrible. Like I said, Drive right past the theater. You
know? Oh, you out-punned Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
Drive right past the theater. Impossible. Hey, I wasn't invited to Three Musketeers, huh?
I know. I think you know what? Nancy Villio, who was our third Musketeer on that review, the first thing she asked was like, is Matthew Aaron going to be mad if you don't ask him instead?
Ah! Nancy!
Oh, wow.
Nancy and I got this little unspoken feud, I think.
No.
Yeah.
I got this habit of not liking things made for people with ADD. Excuse me.
Oh, shut up.
Linger on it. Yeah.
Nancy's very good, though. She's got a book coming out, doesn't she?
Yeah.
What's called The Crown?
The Crown, yeah. Well, that's the thing. She's really into, historical novels. She's written one. She's working on her second one. So we use her for these, costume dramas, and we use you for, The Hangover and Bucky Larson.
Yeah,
you know, we've got you typecast.
For frat boy comedy.
Exactly.
Actually, it's not even old enough to be frat boy comedy, half of it.
Bucky Larson?
What do you think of Super Troopers?
I like Super Troopers. I didn't love it. I liked it.
It was okay.
Right.
Beer Fest was funnier.
I don't know. That was the first movie that just popped in my head that could possibly be bad.
The last
I don't know why I thought of it because it's like 10 years old.
Yeah. The last great comedy I saw was Wedding Crashers.
Yes, absolutely.
Last great
comedy. I'm on that train.
Yeah.
Now, if only
I'm sure Lee's
Or what about Bridesmaids? You like that one?
I liked Bridesmaids. Bruce loved it.
I love Bridesmaids.
I thought Bridesmaids was funnier than Wedding Crashers.
I agree.
Yeah. I would think that.
I thought Bridesmaids was funnier than you, Lee, so I'll give it that. And so is Bucky Larson. But
No. You don't get to say that. Bucky Larson is not funnier than me.
I don't know. I've laughed more at Bucky Larson than you, Lee.
Wait. Steve, you only laughed once during Bucky Larson.
First of all, Steve, you never laugh.
No, I don't.
Ever.
Well, Matt touched the movie theater floor. That was funny.
Oh, I was so gross.
Oh,
it was
man.
Awful.
The germaphobe had a nightmare. It was great.
You wanted to feel dirtier than the movie made him feel.
I wanted to tell Bruce. I finally saw The Gifted Man.
Yeah.
I saw it last week. A lot of great talent on that show. Not giving them a lot to do.
No.
I'm having Neil Bear on in like a month. I like Neil a lot. I love DR. And when he was on SVU, it had its moments at times. But they're not giving them much to do on that show.
No, it's...
And I don't like,
you know,
the wife
it's
shit.
A Friday night CBS, 8 o'clock. You know, it's a sleepy little show. It's not going to do anything interesting.
I know, but you got Margo Martindale. You got Wilson, who's talented. Who else is on there that I like? Who else is on that show, Bruce? There was someone else I was like, oh, Eric LaSalle.
Eric LaSalle was on last week, yeah.
Come on!
I know, he's great.
Oh, I was a little annoyed. Ma likes it, I think. She likes her Blue Bloods. That's what it is. And her
it's no Blue Bloods.
New York.
It's no Blue Bloods.
Yeah. Mom's still upset about her, all my children.
Well, the chew is going down the tube, so, you know.
Oh, hold on. Ma's calling.
Here we go.
Ma, you're listening? You're calling?
Yes, I'm listening. I was calling. I've been on hold for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, do you have a question for Chris Ranji about the Chicago White Sox?
I want to know what bar he goes and hangs out in, because since I don't do the stadium seating really well, I'd be happy to go sit in the bar with him, as long as he's picking up the tabs for the martinis.
You're a married woman.
Oh. Wait a minute.
Bad enough, I think
your mom's sitting on me.
Yeah, it's bad enough.
No. As long as there's...
I'm not complaining.
Chris did on Sarah once, not you, Ma. He hit on your daughter, not you.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, I hit on your daughter. I'm sorry.
You hit on my daughter?
That's what Matt says. I don't know that happened.
All right,
I don't have proof of this. I'm not calling Matt a liar, but I think that somebody doesn't remember correctly. Because I don't remember.
No, it's all right. Actually, Al,
single?
Bruce, you did answer my question. I was going to call and see how bad the chew is doing.
It's doing worse and worse every week.
Yeah, since they keep pulling out all the stops, I see the commercials. I do not watch the show.
Yeah.
Pulling out all the stops and trying to get every Food Network star in the world to appear on that thing.
Yeah.
So, but I'm very pleased that they're doing crappy.
Ma, do you have the television on?
It sounds like.
I have the television on, and Dad has the television on, which he's snoring to, and I will turn the volume down.
Is it a good Criminal Minds? He's snoring.
This is you know, Matthew,
no,
what happens
rerun
when
night, because I guess the World Series was supposed to be tonight, so everything is reruns.
Oh.
Except that they're all reruns, and so, you know, your father had a late dinner and just snoozed right off.
Oh, that's
so
lovely.
And there was something else I was going to ask Bruce, and just totally forgot.
About your CSI New York?
CSI. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you. Lenny in.
Hi, Crystal.
Well,
how you doing?
I do not like Blue Bloods. I am not the Blue Bloods person in this
house.
That would be your father.
One dog at a time. I can't interview them all at once.
What?
I can't interview all the dogs at once. If you could do one at a time, please.
You know what's great about having three people on the phone at once? There's no idea from any of us where the dogs are.
The dogs are
is awesome.
Mick?
You know, I got to tell you something. I'm going to, the next time I have a show, I'm bringing like four or five random dogs. I'm going to throw a piece of meat in the middle of the room. I'm going to let them fight over it, and I'm going to act like when somebody calls me and say, no, that's in your house. That's not here.
No. I will be more than happy. I mean, you're welcome to do your show in my basement, too.
Oh, that's why the dogs were barking.
Yeah, I would rather.
Yeah, the dogs were barking because Lenny just walked in, and Mr. Beef just let him in. So... You know, and tell Pat he really should owe. He owes. I really owe. He owes me like a pound of beef since I do.
Pat
flood
Ma
his business
says, "Do over some beef."
Yeah, Pat. Why are you?
Oh, by the way, Bruce.
Yeah.
Did you get me a job in L.A. yet?
Not yet.
Before
no,
I
but,
ask him if he got you a job in L.A.
Yeah, I wanted to get to it before you did.
Hey, Bruce. Did you get me a job in L.A. yet?
No, but he's got everyone jobs on the New Jersey Transit. You're all,
there you go.
You're all
perfect.
He'll give you a cup, and then you sit on
the... I'll take it.
You guys are so bad.
You guys,
all right. Well, since I called in on one of your first shows, but your sister and I were a little inebriated on margaritas, I thought I would call in for your last show in my basement.
You always announce it's in your basement.
What?
You always got to announce it's in your basement, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It's my claim to fame right now.
Sponsorship?
Yeah. Because if you ever make a name for yourself, I can always say he started out in my basement. I'm so proud of my baby boy.
Don't count on it. Aww. I'll be back here soon.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Hey, Mom.
Those leaf
yeah?
Mom, where's Matt's sister? Is she doing anything right now? Or
she's in Florida.
Wait, the pregnant one or the one in Florida? Which one you want, Chris? Your pick.
Hold on, let me think about this. Let me think about this.
Probably the one in Florida.
No, seriously, give me a minute.
In Tampa, and
Hold on. How pregnant?
Stephanie?
Enough.
Enough.
She's not listening, so.
Okay, Florida. I'll go with Florida.
She's in Tampa, and she's just waitressing because she can't find a job.
Hey, Ma, you know what Charles just said about your daughter?
Holy shit.
At least you know the pregnant one puts out. That was Charles Salvatore?
You know what? Mom, Charles? I would never say anything like that. I just want you to know that I would never.
No, he's above board.
Charles Salvatore with a C.
Chuck.
Yes.
You're skating tonight with me. Not happy with you, dear.
I'm sorry, but that's all right. You'll never see me again.
Well, you know, she might be listening, and if she is, you might owe her one hell of a big apology for saying that.
And a pound of beef.
It goes the Chew and then Charles Salvatore. Real close, that order of Ma, who she hates right now. The Chew.
I would never say anything like that about your daughter. I would treat her with nothing less than respect.
You treat her better than that Sean Marshall.
This is so nice. He's trying to be nice and gentle and like a gentleman, and look what's happened.
That's not true.
Matthew's been on the conversation, so nobody can be a gentleman when Matthew's with the conversation.
No, you're...
Well, everybody looks like a gentleman in comparison to Matt.
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, that it's a very motley crew in my basement, but I'll tell you, they're, you know, for the most part, they're not a bad-looking bunch.
Okay, wait a minute. I just put this all together. You're all in the same house?
My basement.
Except at the moment.
We all sleep
here.
Holy
crap. I gotta tell you something. You just blew my mind. You just blew my mind.
We all sleep here in the basement in bunk beds. Good night, John Boy.
Hey, anyone get the number of that bus that just ran me over?
Yeah.
Anyone get it?
Yeah. I did. Because you'll send it my soon.
All right, Ma. Say goodbye to your internet boyfriend, Bruce.
Oh, goodbye, Bruce. Thanks for all the updates on all my children not being around. And Chris, it was nice chatting with you, and hopefully I'll get to meet both of you someday.
Aww.
Put a good one in for me.
Yeah. Well, Bruce is cheap, so he ain't coming out here. You're going to have to...
Long as you guys aren't getting Matthew a job, does either one of you have contacts in Florida for public relations for the other guy?
And see you later, Ma.
Bye, guys. Have a nice evening.
Bye, Ma.
In Florida.
Yeah, for Sarah.
Is it for your other sister who looks like Catherine Keener?
Catherine Keener?
She does look like
who
her.
Who says that?
I do.
Who the fuck cares about what Catherine Keener
You know what? Bruce,
like.
Bruce gets it, and that's all I care.
I like Catherine Keener. Come on.
There you go. Oh. Wow,
then I guess you'll like my sister, who's 20 years younger than her.
Yeah.
Perfect. Compliment.
There. Very nice.
Yeah, Catherine Keener. That sounds good.
Our courtship's not sacred. Your sister has a boyfriend.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, Miles?
Yeah.
Hope he's listening tonight.
Miles. Those are temporary hurdles.
Yeah, but he's not the voice.
No, he's not the voice of the White House. Exactly.
Matthew, I'll tell you what, I hate to do this to you, but I gotta bounce, sir.
That's fine. I'm going to talk to you soon. And you better come out to L.A.
Well, I wish you the best of luck out there, and I hope that everything goes well. And as soon as you are able to attach yourself to some great project, get me out there.
You'll be more than happy to take a job, huh, Chris? Good to know.
Guys, good to talk to you. Bruce, nice to talk to you on the phone. Tell your mom I love her, and tell your sister hi.
Or should I do it the other way around? Tell your mom you said hi.
By the way, your other sister is not mine. That is not mine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Make that clear.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Talk to you soon.
Bye, Chris.
All right.
Thanks, Chris.
That's fucking Ranji.
Oh, man.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
I hope Kenny Williams wasn't listening. I'm sure he would. Okay. Jerry Reinsdorf loves that.
Can I also mention, in a weird way, I think Bruce complimented me and you today with that Wayne's World, Laverne and Shirley.
I think he was calling us Laverne and Shirley.
No, Wayne's World. He was calling us Wayne's World.
Okay, whatever you want to believe.
Well,
Steve,
if he was calling us Laverne and Shirley, I already decided I couldn't be Penny Marshall.
So, Bruce,
here's
the game. What's the game plan for us when we go to L.A.? What would be your advice, your tips?
Oh, God, I have no idea. Are you kidding me?
You got no tips? You got no advice?
I got no tips. What do I know?
You are such a great friend. Hey, don't you have the – isn't TV Guide Network in West Hollywood out there?
It has to be an office out
there. They are, yeah, but that's –
I'll go there. I'll be like, I know Bruce Fratt.
That's going to do you a lot of good, let me tell you.
Do me nothing. Oh, we got to get you out there, though. We'll go karaoke. We'll hit up. We'll go Phil Rosenthal's, go to movie night.
I would like to do that. I would like to do that, yeah.
Oh, that you'd like to do.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Blues Club.
You can bring the kids out there. Who knows?
Yeah.
Your daughter may end up on the Disney Channel.
That's true.
She's
an actress down for
stars. Making.
She's already planning her Late Night with Jimmy Fallon segment.
Stuff Olive says.
Yeah. She wants to have an interesting life. She'll have lots of good stories to tell when she's on Jimmy Fallon. She's on Jimmy Fallon, when she's on Jimmy Fallon.
When, yeah.
I like how she talks like a 22-year-old student at Harvard, though.
Yeah.
She's a little ahead of her time.
A little bit.
A little bit.
It's great. If you haven't looked at it, Lee, it's Stuff Olive Says on Facebook, and I think also on Twitter.
Yes.
And it's all Bruce's daughter, like she says, like, stuff she says.
Says the darndest things, but they're really the darndest things.
They really are.
Yeah.
They really are.
Well, okay. I got to ask, what about Jed?
No.
Jed?
He doesn't want the spotlight.
He doesn't say the darndest things either?
He does. But, you know, he's 15, so mostly it's just kind of one-word answers, you know. But, no, he's a great kid. He's just different. You know, he's got a different personality. He's much more, he says everything under his breath, you know, so it's a little harder to transcribe it and post it online.
Hello.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? What's coming on TV I need to watch? Anything good? Did you watch Sons of Anarchy last
night? Oh, yeah. I'm totally up to date on Sons of Anarchy.
You knew the ending was coming, though, like 3 weeks ago. It was only
I was still shocked. I was still a little shocked, I got to say.
Were you?
I was.
I wasn't, but I'm not saying it wasn't good. I thought it was really well written.
Yeah.
I think the reason it was well written was because of the foreshadowing.
Yeah.
I saw it coming, but the way it still happened was good.
I think this is their maybe their strongest season ever. I mean,
I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah.
It's way better than last year.
Yeah.
No offense to Kurt.
I was gonna
love
say,
Kurt. I'm not a cunt, Kurt. But
I'd say Kurt doesn't hate you yet.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying last season was bad.
No, even Kurt admits, but last season there were some problems.
Last season was a little far-fetched at times, and this season they've stuck to the basics, and that's why it's good.
So
it's very basic.
So you're saying if it's not broke, right, don't fix it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, strong acting, strong writing. It's basic, but it is really good. It's back to being my hillbilly Sopranos.
Yes.
My redneck Sopranos, which I know
Not
Kurt hates with a passion.
Oh.
But
well, now he's back to hating you.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, you know.
It is what it is. Hey, you see our buddy Peter Tolan got another pilot?
Yes, I did.
Does all he do is work?
Yes. He's abnormal. He just likes to work.
Oh, he's abnormal? He doesn't like to hang out?
He doesn't hang out.
Sit in the gazebo?
Yeah.
He eats alone.
He eats alone.
No, he's married, right? Or divorced.
You know what? I like Bruce. The synopsis for this comedy at the Firehouse sounds pretty good.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not Rescue Me, because it's more sort of a female lead, and, you know, she cooks for the firefighters, but it's got that, you know, Firehouse feel. I just, you know, I hope that they can do it for network TV and not have it be kind of like a, you know, too much of a watered-down version of Rescue Me.
I was going to say, is it going to be better than Last Man Standing?
I watched that, by the way.
You watched it, Steve?
Yes, I did.
Review?
Oh, God. I see why it did so well, to be honest.
You like it.
I do enjoy it, but here's why I enjoy it. It's different. It's different.
I don't
not.
Know. I saw an episode last night, like 5 minutes.
Right.
He's doing a tool show.
Yes. But here's...
Like, there's an owl.
Yes.
Like, it's home improvement.
Yes, and it's... I don't like to say anything bad about it, because I did actually enjoy it, and why I say it's different is because not what's on right now. Yes, it's Home Improvement Part 2, but it's not like what's on right now.
So you like that it's multi-cam with a live audience.
Oh, yeah.
But then you hate Whitney.
I do not like Whitney, yes. You know why? Overacting in Whitney. Hold on.
No acting in Whitney. What's overacting? No acting.
Trying too hard is what I'm saying.
Bruce, what did you think of Last Man Standing?
What? You know, I don't hate it as much as I thought I would.
Oh, Tim.
I got to say, though, I never really got Tim Allen on Home Improvement. I would...
I love
you know, that show was on the same time as Seinfeld, and I was always kind of comparing them and thinking, you know, Seinfeld is so much better than the show. And now I could just kind of look at Tim Allen in and of himself, and I kind of think, you know, he's got – I can understand why people like his persona.
Yeah,
he does have a point of view and a voice.
Likeable. He's a likeable, normal guy. But am I the only guy that – am I the only person that liked Wild Hogs?
I loved Wild Hogs.
No.
Lenny liked it? Lenny
liked
it. Fuck yeah, from Lenny.
I loved it.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Bruce, I'm taking it you did not like Wild Hogs.
Not so much, but you know, I think Buzz Lightyear has actually given me a whole different appreciation for Tim Allen.
I agree with you, Bruce.
Oh, you mean the movie that he doesn't really have to act in?
Yeah.
Gave you a whole new perspective.
I liked him in the Dave Barry movie, Big Trouble, that he was good in that.
You liked Big Trouble?
It wasn't bad.
Can I also mention there was a Buzz Lightyear cameo in that Halloween ep? From last night.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Was there?
I think Buzz Lightyear's a great character. I do.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I just like the
range. I have a positive association with him now. So when I see him and I hear him, I think, oh, it's Buzz Lightyear. And so, you know, I don't hate him the way I used to.
My kid.
I've always liked him, and I hear he's a great guy. I hear he's a nice guy. I've heard that from a lot of people. So, I don't know.
A lot of people from his prison days, or?
No.
Yes.
Everyone in Detroit tells me
he's
lovely.
He whittled best shaft, I hear.
Yikes. Poor Timmy Allen.
One piece at a time.
If Ricky Gervais knows one thing, it's Tim Allen can't take a joke.
Yes.
So you better take that back.
Oh, yes. I'm not taking it back, but still, I agree with what you just said, but yeah.
Another comedian that can't take a joke.
Well, that's all of them.
That's a list.
I've bombed. I've bombed at a few stand-up shows. I know they all can't take jokes.
Right.
Or maybe they weren't funny.
No, about themselves.
Themselves.
Yes, my jokes were not funny.
No,
yes, but
no, you're right though.
So Bruce didn't mind Last Man Standing.
Well, you know what? I have a different perspective on Tim Allen now, and I feel like, you know, he's got to be a smart guy if he went from, you know, a drug rap in jail to becoming like America's favorite family comedian, basically. You know, the Santa Claus and the Toy Story movies and these sitcoms. It's like, that's an achievement. You got to give him credit.
You're also forgetting Christmas with the Cranks and Jungle to Jungle and the Shaggy Dog. He was in a lot of movies that, I don't know.
You know,
well, I try to forget those movies, but unfortunately I did suffer through a couple of them. So
I liked Wild Dogs. I liked Santa Claus.
Every part of the Santa Claus.
How many sequels did they make the Santa Claus?
You know what? Judge Reinhold's in all three, so
I
like all three.
Wow, I didn't know he was in all three.
Marty Short's in one.
Okay.
Marty Short is pretty funny in one of them, actually.
Yeah, Davy Krumholtz is in them all.
Yeah. He is, Krumholtz, yeah.
What else did I like Tim Allen in? He must have done something that was good. Home Improvement, of course.
Yeah.
With Patty Rich.
Patty Rich.
Yeah.
Do you know who her the first?
I had such
Taylor
a crush
was.
On her. It, when I was watching that show.
People
Patricia
do.
Richardson?
Yeah, I did. I don't know what
you're
it was.
You're sure you're not gay?
I tell you I had a crush on a woman on a show, and you say, you've got to be gay.
Three boys.
Oh.
Patricia Richardson.
Oh.
That's kind of funny.
You think she was gay?
Hey, Bruce, you know Dick Dreyfuss still won't do my show.
Shocking.
I'm telling you, he's one of the worst interviews I've ever done. You're not missing anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. But maybe Matt can get out the
No.
No?
No.
You can't?
He'll probably hang up on me.
More than likely.
I'd imagine.
I don't know. I bet Matt might be able to squeeze some of the juice out of that ripe piece of...
What are you...
I don't know what...
Ripe piece? Oh, yeah, you're not gay at all.
No, I know. I'm trying to...
Oh, yeah, you're totally not gay.
I was trying to make a getting
Dick...
the juice reference, but then it just sounded like it was going to be something
gay. You
just
called Dick Dreyfuss a ripe piece. He's a ripe piece,
You know what?
Oy vey.
I must be gay.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just trying to get Lee to admit it.
Can we bring in the Italians?
The Italian. Who has questions for Bruce about TV or anything?
Oh, well, then don't.
Terzo, put your pants on.
Don't bring them in.
Hey, Bruce, I got a question.
Yeah.
Would you ask?
The first two seasons, I kind of liked Hung, but I thought Hung has gotten really good this year. Do you like that show?
It's gotten better, yeah. It's still, not one of my favorites, but I did watch a bunch of the new episodes, and I felt like it's less depressing than it used to be. The first couple of years, you know, they really hit you hard with the Detroit and the recession, and, you know, it's a comedy, you know. You need to lighten it up a little bit, and I think they've done a good job this season of getting away from that a little bit more and making it, more fun to watch. But it's still, it's not something that I go out of my way to see.
No. And I will say, Matt, that I didn't like the first season of Boardwalk Empire, but I am liking the second season.
Let me tell you something.
It has gotten better.
Not the best show on TV, but it is very good.
It is very good. And yeah. I didn't really like the first season. I was actually unsure if I wanted to watch the second season.
I liked it.
A couple people said, watch the first episode, and I did. And I was like, okay. And I do enjoy the second season. So, Matt, you should check it out.
I am going to check it out. I haven't had time to fucking watch it.
Don't have an aneurysm, I'm just saying.
Chris McDonald is in it. I want to see it.
He is. He's in a lot the second season.
Well, we had him on, and David Chase said he's one of his favorite actors he's ever worked with.
Wow.
David Chase is actually his first project after Sopranos. He's doing a movie, and it stars James Gandolfini and Chris McDonald and Brad Garrett.
Yeah, I forgot the name of it. But.
And Jack Houston, who's on Boardwalk Empire.
Yes, and Brad Garrett.
And Brad Garrett, yeah.
Yeah, Bruce, I was thinking about you the other night, not to make it sound
That's
too
nice.
Hot.
Yeah.
Okay, but, and I'm gay.
Hey,
fuck
no,
you.
No, this totally goes in the other direction.
You sticks all of this up.
How the fuck does Till Death get a syndication deal?
Well, that was the whole thing. That was why they kept renewing it. They wanted to get enough episodes to sell it in syndication. Now, I don't know who's going to show it in what time slot, but they did four seasons. So
1 hour every night
in
Chicago.
WCIU bought it.
Yeah, 1 hour every night over here.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
And we were watching, it was like a season four or five ep, and it was really painful.
Awful.
It was
season
painful.
Season four is bizarre. I mean, it was like they knew that no one was going to, ever really see these episodes. So they just didn't care, and they just, it was just like the entire season of the Drew Carey Show that they made. And ABC never aired. It was just shown in syndication,
I actually didn't mind the first two seasons of that show.
We're good.
And there were episodes with J.B. Smoove where I, cringe. But with that talented staff, that pretty much all the people from King of Queens, except Whitehorn and Rock Rubin, but a lot of King of Queens staff on that show. And I like Brad Garrett. Great on Raymond.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Well, yeah, creators of the show were Ben Goldsmith.
Well, wait, I say, Steve, and I hate to make this
public?
Claim.
Oh.
Especially public, but it kind of seemed like season four, season five, they weren't trying.
That is what you did say. And actually, I hate to make this public, but didn't we notice they recycled a KOQ storyline?
Yes, yes.
Sharing
split beds.
Split beds. That,
yeah.
I can't do that click right enough, but
yeah.
Oh, it was painful.
Yeah, it was.
Because I love Brad Garrett.
I do. I like Brad Garrett. Oh, he was doing some show recently, though, too, with Kids Say the Darndest Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is new Cosby for that?
Yeah, sure he is.
Yeah, well, sure.
Yeah,
whatever
TLC says.
Oh.
Bruce, what's on tap for the two cranky guys? What do you got coming this week?
We're debating what to do this weekend. I mean, there's the Shakespeare movie is coming out, Anonymous, and so we might call in Nancy Bilyeu to help us out with that.
Okay.
But other than that, Puss in Boots, I got to take the kids to see that this weekend. So
that'll be nice.
Might have another Olive review for that. And, maybe in time, the Justin Timberlake movie, just because the trailer is
so
incredibly
awesome.
Convoluted and confusing that I can't imagine the movie is any better. So
that movie looks terrible.
I thought we were supposed to.
Terzo, are you coming back? Because I want to talk about you and the sausage jelly bean. He ate a jelly bean that tastes like sausage today.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask Bruce.
All right, that's all.
Well, no, just real quick.
Wait. I thought we were going to have...
No, go have your smoke, Mikey. Go have...
Yeah,
we'll talk about your sausage jelly bean
I thought
jelly
we were
going
to have me talking to Pat, too, also.
Oh, we could have that.
Yeah. Oh, could I ask a television question? One more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Bruce, what he's here for.
Bruce, how excited are you for the new Beavis and Butthead? Let's be real.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm not a huge Beavis and Butthead fan. So
really,
I knew it.
It's a generation thing. I get it.
He hates this. He doesn't like.
It's an animation thing. I'm not.
You're not. Oh.
I'm not a Simpsons guy. I'm not a.
cartoon.
Family Guy guy, and none of those shows really do it for me. So.
But don't you agree that animation, I mean, Fox has a whole night dedicated to it. They come out with a lot of shows now. Don't you think it should be taken a little more seriously
on
TV?
No, that Jonah Hill show looks awful. Awful. I don't know if Bruce saw it. Alan Gregory?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Oh, it looks
all those shows, you know, I leave them to other people to watch. They don't really, I don't connect with them at all.
Leave that to other people.
Fair enough. Well, it's a good reason, I guess. You got a good reason.
Hey, how's that Don Cheadle show look on Showtime?
Haven't seen it, but, you know, anything with Don Cheadle, I'll give a chance.
Yeah. Have you heard? You know, here's the thing that's bothering me about Showtime, though. Outside of Shameless, it seems like they're the USA Network with swear words.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I'm
saying? I wouldn't say that.
No? It seems like characters welcome over there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're definitely going a little hard on the, you know, the anti-hero thing. But, you know, I think Homeland is a solid show. I think it's, much more sophisticated and better written and acted and directed than your typical USA Network show.
And it's got boobs.
Yep.
You know that I love Dexter.
You do love
Dexter. It is probably my second
Chuck,
favorite
I think
show.
It's time to close up shop on Dexter.
I agree with you about that because I also love Dexter, but the way the season's going to shape up and the last one kind of not being so good as some of the ones that
came before.
Well,
they're going to have another one. They just paid them $20 million. No, two more.
I'm kind of with Lee. I didn't really like last season. Although at the last episode, they teased Deb finding out about Dexter, and I really wanted that to happen.
Oh, Chuck, how many times have they teased that?
That was really the first.
Oh, come on.
That's going to be like How I Met Your Mother. It's like the last episode, you know.
It's a running team.
I thought that was too little too late, and that couldn't make up for all the fun they had with John Lithgow in the fourth season and all that. So I don't know. Dexter, they got to really impress me because I love that show.
And since Bruce is going to be honest with us, there's only one other person I found out there that has the balls to rip on this Whitney Cummings show, and that's Sam Simon.
Yes.
And Sam Simon and I are in complete agreement. She's not hot, and the show's not funny. It got a 1.1 18-49 demo rating last week. It almost lost to Univision. How does the show stay on the air?
Hey, don't put down that Jorge Ramos.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'd rather watch Jorge Ramos. What? Why is that show still on the air, Bruce? I know everyone says they have nothing to replace it with. Please, they got to have Cosby reruns.
There's plenty of things out there to replace
Seinfeld.
It. Yeah.
Jesus.
People are dying for the opportunity.
Like, what is
I mean, the bar is just so low for NBC on Thursday night now, which is amazing to think about how it was, you know, even 10, you know, 15 years ago that now they're willing to accept these, you know, shows that are getting 3 or 4 million viewers on Thursday night. But, you know, it's not doing that much worse than everything else they have. So,
yeah, the Office got a 1.5, so that's absolutely true right there.
Well, that show's done.
I would ask you this, Bruce, what you think is the best comedy show on TV right now? And I would give my submission, which is Louie on FX.
Well, he loves Two Broke Girls.
Not just because I'm a big Louis C.K. fan, but I think that show is so dark and so challenging, I have to give it props.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
I don't get Louis C.K.
Oh, no. What?
I'm not a big Louis C.K. guy either. I mean, I thought there were some great episodes this season. I thought the USO episode where he went with, you know, over to entertain the troops with the duckling was really interesting and fun. But for the most part, the show doesn't really make me laugh that much, which is kind of my test for a comedy, you know.
I'm totally with Bruce on this.
Okay.
I don't get him. I've never gotten him.
Okay.
I think he's a really smart guy. Don't get me wrong, but Louis C.K. doesn't necessarily make me laugh.
Oh.
And that's kind of his job. If you wanted to be a political columnist or something, you'd be fantastic.
Oh, that's a shame.
I don't really laugh at him.
Okay. Nor do I.
I'm sure he's great.
No,
he has his fans. He must be doing something right.
I don't know. I think
so. The bar for comedy is pretty low.
It's
nowadays.
Low, but I think what he's doing is a lot darker and more challenging than a lot of comedy.
I don't think it's challenging. I think that's all he can do.
It's challenging for me to sit through it sometimes.
Well, to blatantly depict, I think what it does to a greater degree than Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is. People are awful hypocrites. That to me, which is the underlying theme of that show, I don't know. I got to give it up for something like that.
Except one guy does it better than the other. Just going to put that out there.
Who's that?
Larry David does it a lot better than Louis.
I agree. Yeah.
Especially
this past season.
I mean, it's not even close to me. That's not even close in my mind.
All right. Yeah.
Maybe you got to do a lot of stand-up to feel the way I feel, but...
I do. I have done a lot of stand-up. I don't give a fuck about Louis.
Okay.
I don't. I don't think... Look, I think he has become a character, even with his stand-up. I don't think he's probably really like that. I really don't.
Really?
I've heard his interviews with Marc Maron. I've heard his interviews with, was it Carolla? Like, he's a different guy when he does interviews. I think a lot of comedians become this thing that they've created on stage, and it's a one character. Like, sometimes your character gets old.
Yeah.
And there's no way to recreate a character that's gotten old because you've become this character. You're no longer you. The great thing about people being themselves is you get to see all these different layers of themselves throughout their career. With Louis, I think this is going to be one note.
That's a valid argument, but I have to say I can't put it into words, but all right.
I mean, look, I get why he has his fans.
Yeah.
I understand it. Not my cup of tea.
Okay.
What is my cup of tea is the Farrelly brothers are prepping another Dumb and Dumber announced today.
I am a fan. I'm ready for that.
Oh, boy.
So get ready for some more Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels.
Is it going to be Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels?
Yeah, that's my question.
Hope to reunite Jim Carrey.
Hope to. Yeah, that's the key word. I'm not interested.
I think they will. I don't think Jim Carrey's had a hit in like 10 years.
Yeah.
And
you didn't
Daniels,
like the number 23?
No. And Jeff Daniels, who I know people that are personally friends with him, he'll do it.
And Dumb and Dumberer suck.
Well, that's not the Farrelly brothers.
That wasn't
they had nothing
brothers.
To do with that.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with
Someone
it. They produced it.
Yeah.
Jeff Daniels.
I'll tell you a story about Wes Craven
Jeff
if you want to know what
is
producers
doing good. Just,
do.
Yeah, it was like.
If you got $25,000 and you film a movie, Lee, give it to Wes Craven. He'll put his name on it.
Okay.
It's true. True story.
Good. I'm doing it.
There you go.
All right. We're making
so
a movie. We're making a movie where Steve gets chased around by a guy with a knife in a skimpy bikini.
Oh,
we've had producers on this show. No disrespect to our friends, but we've had producers on our show that can't explain what producers
yes.
do.
Yeah.
Exactly. Cesar Marconi.
No.
I know the episode you speak of, actually.
I told you.
Well, I love Timmy Gibbon.
Yeah, love him.
But he yeah. really danced around that issue.
Certainly did. Love you, Tim, if you're listening. I doubt. I don't know if you
Bruce,
are.
Bruce, what do producers do?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Oh, there
See?
It is.
There you go. I have no
well,
idea.
Well, movie producers, I have no idea. TV producers, you know, TV is really a producer's medium. I mean, that's really the writers, you know, the showrunners are the have well, the real power up more than the directors. But film, it's a director's medium. And what do movie producers do? I have no idea.
You know,
I've been on sets, and I don't know what the producers are up to.
Michael Whitehorn and I hung out when I was in L.A., and
yeah.
he was telling me about running KOQ
yeah.
in Queens. And he did so much on that show. I'm like, well, Mike, what did the producers do? And he just smiled. like, you know. yeah, like, no one can explain it.
Well, I think there are different types of producers on TV shows. You know, their producers are basically writers. Their producers are basically showrunners. Their line producers are more, you know, involved in behind the scenes kind of hiring the crew. But, you know, with movies, I think a lot of times, I mean, with TV shows, too, there are people who get producer credits. You know, it's like a vanity credit for a star or for the star's manager or for, you know, the star's closeted gay lover or whatever. But, you know.
Send me a Wikipedia page for film producer.
What a great story.
It is the shortest page on Wikipedia I've ever read. There's like 7 words. A film producer oversees and delivers a film project to all relevant parties while preserving the integrity, voice, and vision of the film. Did Johnny Cochran write that sentence?
So he's kind of like the guy, the foreman in the construction crew on 294.
Uh-huh.
He does nothing and takes all the credit.
Yeah, yeah.
More importantly, Wikipedia is our reputable source. Oh, God.
Well, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, I got to get you to come out to L.A. at some point.
I will. I want to. You know, I need to find a reason to go out there. I need to find a story that they'll, you know,
Well,
pay to send me out there to do so I can.
Says come out in January for the critics thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to hang out with those people.
Neither do I.
Well, we can send Ken, and he'll be your stand-in.
Oh, Ken would love to chill.
I know he
we'll
would.
We'll go karaoke-ing.
Can't wait.
We'll go to the karaoke bar like a bunch of old Asian guys. It'll be fun.
Don't leave me this way.
Yes.
Who's doing Neil Diamond? Who's doing a Neil Diamond song?
I don't know, but I'm going to do what Pierce Brosnan did in
Mamma
Mia.
Mamma Mia, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be the Pierce Brosnan. What did he do, the SOS?
SOS, yeah.
Oh, that's not bad. How about this? I'll do this song in karaoke.
You should.
Nice.
Yeah, there we go. Here we go. I'm a little sick. Welcome back. That's enough.
Oh,
that's enough. I'm sick. I'm going
to
cough.
Well, here's a song you can hum to, the taxi theme.
Oh, yeah. You'll do the taxi theme at karaoke.
How about Laverne and Shirley? Come on.
Oh, yeah. See, you got to do Laverne and Shirley.
I could do that.
You know what? Bruce is a television expert. Bruce, explain something to me. I get that fish don't fry in the kitchen, but beans don't burn on the grill. How do you grill beans?
I can't explain that.
No, you can't?
You would think the beans would fall through the grill. Hello?
Yes, I'm back. We're a little drunk tonight, I guess.
I know.
Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Here Bruce is calling back.
Oh,
Bruce,
Matt.
I think I lost you.
We're sorry.
That's all right.
No, I was trying to ask you if you and Brett Watson have ever double dutched.
No, but, you know, after Jack and Jill, maybe we'll try it.
Yeah, I think you should. How do they do the special effects?
I don't
that
know.
That Adam Sandler just wows me.
It's a type of jump rope. Like, you get the two ropes involved.
Here's how fucking good Adam Sandler is. He could be in two places at once.
He can.
He could be two different
people
at once.
You know where he learned to do that? Where? John Stamos in Full House.
Oh, come on.
Can he start on Stamos? Come on.
I'm convinced, though. I'm convinced that Bruce secretly is like friends with Stamos.
I'm not.
No, so if I would
be, if you could get me and Stamos to quash our beef, then would be something.
Oh, I could do that, and I'll get you two to double dutch with Craig Bierko spinning the rope. And you know what happens?
You'll
when
have
you go
plenty
New,
of time to jump with his giant arms.
If you go to New Jersey and you ring Bruce Fred's doorbell. Jesse Kassopoulos.
Or Cochran. Either or.
Oh, you hate him too, Steve.
I'm not a fan. I mean,
you think he took too much airtime on that Full House?
I heard a story that he would get mad if he wasn't in the A storyline of that show. Come like five.
He was
five
the star.
Bobby Sags.
Who watched that show for anything other than Stamos?
I did.
Davey Cool.
Yes,
I did.
As a matter of fact,
Kurzo, you had a crush on the Olsen twins.
They were toddlers. You could have at least said Jody Sweetin or whatever her fucking
name. Hey, you know, their sister gets naked in her
Candace
new movie.
Candace Cameron, what's her name?
Bird.
No, their sister?
Or the one chick.
Elizabeth Olsen?
Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. We're going to do that for Two Cranky Guys.
I hear it's a great movie.
Yeah, I hear it's very good.
But I hear she gets naked, Bruce, and I'm sure they had nothing to do with you choosing that film.
Nothing.
I did not know that, but now that I do, we'll definitely be doing it, and I think I'll probably enjoy it. So,
are you going to invite Nancy Bilyeu to guest?
You know what? The only sounds that are going to happen. You talk about Nancy Bilyeu on this show. This is what's going to happen. Oh well, that's not going to happen. It's not going to be a Full House with me and Nancy.
What's it going to be?
I'm going to Jack McCoy her ass. That's not sexual. That is not sexual.
I'd prefer if it was Sam Waters.
When I Jack McCoy someone's ass, that's not sexual. Getting that out there.
Okay.
It can't be.
Did you see my awesome Facebook profile picture with Jack McCoy?
No.
Sam Waterston bowling.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
In a bowling shirt.
I asked you. I thought that was Peter Falk. It looked like Peter Falk.
Peter Falk!
Oh, no.
No, it was not.
Okay.
All
right.
Bruce, did you like the Law and Order?
Yeah, I miss Law and Order. I wish that they'd bring it back, you know.
Who was your favorite partners? Who was your favorite partners?
Favorite partners? Orbach and Noth.
I agree. Now, Orbach and Noth, so you're not in that camp that thinks they were too much alike.
No.
No.
What camp is that?
Well, the claim was from Chris Noth's camp that it wasn't over money that he got fired from the show, that it was because him and Lenny Briscoe were too much alike.
That's not true.
Oh, it's not true? I'm not going to press that. that is probably my favorite. And then who are your favorite DA, assistant DA?
I'm a Jill Hennessy, Angie Harmon guy.
Yeah, I'm an Angie Harmon McCoy guy. Yeah.
McCoy's a given. But I mean, you know, Stephen Hill is the real star of that show.
Oh, he was the best. And Michael Moriarty was awful. You know, Stephen Hill, you should get him to do a guest crank.
Is he still alive?
Yes, he's 90.
I thought I saw him at a Broadway show the other day, and then I thought, wait, I thought he died, but maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
I thought you were going to say, I thought I saw him in a casket the other day. No, that was not Stephen Hill, damn it.
It was somebody else.
He always had one-liners, Stephen Hill, but he would never play them off like they were jokes.
No.
No, that was the best thing. You'd always laugh at his lines, and he was not having any of it.
He was the king of the last line on the steps, you know. He would just nail those.
When they'd walk to the elevator, they walk to the elevator, and he'd always say the last line that, like, sums up the moral of the episode.
Yeah.
But my favorite Stephen Hill line was, congratulations, you climbed Everest in the cold, in your shorts. That's my favorite Stephen Hill. I don't know why. It's just the way he delivers it. I love that line. I know a lot about Law and Order. I've seen them all, every episode ever.
It's a great
show. Who's the worst on Law and Order?
Michael Moriarty is the worst actor on the planet. And then
Elizabeth Rome.
Oh, I love when she was lesbian at the end, by the way. That was classic. No, Annie Parisi was not very good either. Oh, no, worst.
She was way better than Elizabeth Rome, though. Come on.
Well, the worst on Law and Order ever is probably Milena Jokovic or whatever.
Oh, she barely lasted,
She lasted one season. When that show got way better the last 2 years with Sisto and Anthony Anderson.
It was still solid.
Yeah, and I like Linus Roach a lot. I wish they would get him full-time on Law & Order SVU.
Yeah, well, they're bringing back as many people as they can on SVU to keep it going. But
yeah, well, SVU...
When they get to Gilbert Gottfried, that's...
Oh, I know, I read that. How do you bring Andre Brower in for 3 episodes and now Gilbert Gottfried? That is one side to the other right there.
Don't talk shit about Gilbert Gottfried. Please.
Andre looks great in that upcoming episode.
Yeah, he's dropped some weight. He's looking good.
Yeah, I want to see him versus Linus Roach, too. I'm excited about that. Yeah.
I want to see him in a lot of stuff since I watched all of Men of a Certain Age.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I watched all of that show.
Well, watch him on Homicide. He'll blow your fucking mind.
He's great.
He's great.
Duets. He will also blow your mind. Duets is an underrated movie in my mind.
I know about Duets.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
You don't like it, Lee?
I haven't seen it.
Too much stuff going on in it for you? Like
it's
a plot and dialogue?
Gwyneth Paltrow and all those people, I know about it.
It's got dialogue.
Come on.
It's got dialogue.
I'll watch it.
You know Huey Lewis's role was supposed to be Brad Pitt.
I'll watch it because I'm not a snob.
You're not a snob?
No.
A lot of people fooled. No. Let me tell you. Facets, right. Music box. No, not a snob.
Not a snob.
No, a pretend one.
Just a man with taste.
So, Bruce, anything else you need to plug or anything?
What else can I plug? I got I can probably reveal this now. This in the next issue of TV Guide, I did a joint interview with Dennis Leary and Michael J. Fox.
Cool. Oh.
Yeah, that's really awesome. When you told me about that, I got super jealous. I'm pretty sure that's why you told me about it. And neither of them will do my show, so that's about right. That's about right.
They were great. It's for this series we're doing called Icons and Innovators, where we get two people together. And Dennis Leary wanted to do it with Mikey Fox, and I'd never met Mikey Fox before, and he was just as great a guy as you'd think he would be.
So you two, now what happened? You go to lunch? How does this go?
We did it at Leary's office. We did a little quick photo shoot first, and then just... sat down, the three of us around, down the couch.
Did a quick photo shoot.
Yep.
Look who makes himself the star of the interview.
I was not in the photo shoot, just with Larry and Fox.
You were in the middle, arms around both of them, going,
nope.
What up? Fruity drink in one hand.
Nope.
And Dennis. That's good for you, though.
It was just three guys sitting around the office. It was nice.
That seems pretty awesome. I wouldn't have done it at the office. I would have gone somewhere. I would have gone out on the town.
Oh,
gazebo.
You do it somewhere that people are going to be coming up, especially with Michael J. Fox. People are going to be coming up to you constantly, asking for autographs, interrupting it.
You're going to do this now? Or are you like the go-to guy for this new section?
Not necessarily. It depends on who we did. But we did one a couple weeks ago with Amy Poehler and Terrell Burnett. That turned out really well. But I didn't do it myself. Michael Logan did that in L.A. If there are ones that we can do in New York and, with people who I'm particularly, an aficionado of, then I'll try to do some more. But this is a great experience. I've talked to Larry lots of times, and, he's always a good interview, but I didn't know quite what to expect with Mr. Fox, but he was...
Well, you'll be a little jealous. While you were booking Dennis Leary, I had Norman Golden III from Cop and a Half trying to get on my show, pal.
Right. What do you mean?
All grown
up. Away?
Oh, full grown
he's
man.
He's a rapper now, supposedly.
Is he really?
Yeah, sure.
What's his rap name?
That was my fucking tooth. I'm going to punch you in the fucking face. That was my tooth.
We got to get them on. As soon as we say goodbye to Bruce, we got to get Pat
Jesus
and Lenny
Christ.
And them on. We got to give them their time.
Oh, Bruce. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Bruce.
Right.
I just got hit in the tooth.
Yeah, he did.
You got hit in the tooth?
Yeah, someone hit my microphone stand right in Mr. Beef. Mr. Chip Tooth.
You can't chew that beef when you're gummy.
Oh, well, good. Now I can't talk when I'm with Sherry Baker tomorrow. Getting interrogated. Getting interrogated. Who? Bruce?
No.
How much do you not know about my guest, Pat? You didn't know Chris Ranji did anything with the White Sox. He's been on before, by the way, with you sitting in. Bruce Fretz has been on numerous times with you sitting in. Okay. Bruce Fretz is not in L.A. No, Pat. No.
New Jersey City Transit?
Knows nothing about our guests. Nothing.
Oh,
Carlos Bakery?
Christ.
You mean Cake Boss?
Yeah. Oh.
Cake Boss is in New York.
No, it's in Hoboken.
Oh, it's in Hoboken? Is
yeah.
Hoboken a real town?
I lived in Hoboken for 8 years.
Oh, sure you did. Stewart Soda?
That's real.
Did you ever go to Carlos's bakery? Pat wants to know. Carlo.
Not Mexican.
Oh, he's not Mexican, Mikey?
Carlo.
Sounds it. Go ahead, Bruce. Did you go to Carlo Bakery? Everyone wants to know. Carlos. Carlo.
No, I've not been there. I've not been there.
You've never been there. Well, he's going to stay in that fucking line for 2 hours. He's Bruce fucking Fret.
He isn't.
He's hanging out with Denny Leary and Mikey J.
Mikey JF.
Mikey J. Fox, you don't know who that is? Get the
He's
fuck out of here.
He's never getting back in the future ever, is he?
Get the fuck out
of
here.
Oh, here we go.
How do you not know who Michael J. Fox is?
All right, listen. Let's let Bruce go so that he can
anymore.
Have his life.
All right, so Bruce.
Christ almighty.
Bruce has twocrankyguys.com.
No,
hold
don't
on.
Pay attention to him.
Twocrankyguys.com, and he also has his new Icons and Legends on TV Guide next week. Dennis Leary. Michael J. Fox. I have to order a new TV guide when we go to L.A. Mom won't let me take hers.
No.
And my mother loves Bruce Fred.
Right.
Yes, she should.
Thanks for doing the show, Bruce.
And we lost Bruce anyway.
Oh,
all
right.
Let's.
All right. Now I'm going to give everyone time to say goodbye.
No, all right. Wait.
Well, you got something to say?
Well, no. Are we done?
No, we're not done. We're going.
All right.
Who wants to say goodbye first? Who has something to say?
Let's sub out some of the jolly Neapolitans here and let them have their say.
I'm going to let Alex Luisi say goodbye first. Come sit down.
All right.
Come sit down, Alex.
What?
All right, Alex Luisi is now joining me.
How's it going, guys?
It's better. I'm going to get you a good fucking dentist when I beat you up outside.
All I'm saying is 63 episodes. How about it, huh?
All right. Here's Alex Luisi. He's coming in. He's the dancing queen.
Yeah, he is.
Alex.
Talking to the mic.
Talking to the microphone. What do you got to say?
63 episodes, Chicago. I didn't get to talk a lot, but you know what? You guys, it was awesome. Honest to God, you guys are having a good time.
Right, so we're never going to see you again?
Oh, no, you guys will see me all the time. But
okay. Okay.
Sitting in, annoying you guys, talking about thongs and women and Steve, and it was a good time. All the food.
All right, you're boring my audience. All now, right. Who's next? Who's
Come
next?
On, all right.
Who's
Hola.
Next?
Len, please stop you down.
No, you're not next. Oh, Lenny's last. Chuck, come do your goodbyes. Charles,
Alex,
I'm not
going to
see you for a while.
The sausage
come tell me
here.
How great I am. Come on.
That's great.
Come on. Tell me how great I am.
A piece of food on
Keep
the screen.
It going. On what screen?
Just do me a favor. Last time you were in L.A., you called me every day with three-hour updates. Please don't do that this time.
All right, you're boring my audience.
I think I'm entertaining your audience.
So what was the first three-hour update you got?
The shit he took in the public bathroom where he took the toilet paper away from the kid.
That's a true story. I was in Nebraska, and in Nebraska I had to take a shit real bad. And I locked the door, or I thought. And this 8-year-old kid walked in during my shit, and he's staring at me, my junk hanging out and everything, as I'm like mid-exiting, mid-pooping. And I was really embarrassed and pissed, and then his mother walked in to get him, and I pulled up my pants, and I said, give me a minute. I closed the door. I took all the toilet paper. I put it under my shirt. I walked outside. I waited outside smoking a cigarette. The kid walked out, legs crossed, poop stain on the back of his pants.
So then what did Matt do? Ran into his car and called me. Literally from the parking lot.
You know, hold on. I gotta get a quick opinion on something from you. So while we're on the story of shitting in bathrooms, I was at a Meyer bathroom and I was in one stall. Now I just got done shitting and I realized there was no toilet paper in my stall. So I got up and I walked out of that stall, went to the stall next to me, sat down and grabbed some toilet paper. Well, I didn't apparently wasn't paying attention. So then I got out of that stall to crawl back to the original stall, and there was somebody in the original stall that I just came out of.
Why didn't you just go into the stall with the toilet paper?
Well, what I'll get there. See, what I'm curious about
You'll get
is
there.
If you walked into a stall that had, obviously somebody had just taken a shit in, are you just going to flush it, sit down, and go, fuck it, and just keep going?
Depends how bad I got to go.
Well, I mean, it was fresh.
Depends how bad I got to go. Well, if it's that person's you.
I mean, because I'm sitting there, I'm like, holy fuck, somebody just... I mean, I was a little, dumbfounded, but maybe it's...
Was that your goodbye? Yeah, was that your goodbye, Mikey? Thanks. It was real brown. Chuck, you got anything else? I won't call you 3 hours a day.
Thank you.
Maybe a week.
Call me.
That's fine.
Compromise.
Once a week.
Okay.
All right.
Who's next?
Hire me. I hate my job.
Oh, you and Ranji both. Pat?
Pat, Lenny, you're coming on.
No, I was one of the originals.
You're coming on. You got to say goodbye. You're not going to L.A.
So come on.
You're too good for a goodbye? If you don't come on, I'm talking about your blowjob. I'm talking about your blowjob if you don't come on. I'm going to talk about further.
You believe Lenny got blown leaving Richards the other night?
Oh, Pat.
I heard she only charged 50, too.
They made it a block down the street, and that was it.
A block down the street.
And
they
he blew
sure it,
yeah. Pretty bad, huh?
How much?
How much did that cost, Lenny? $200, $300? She had a tongue ring, though, so it was worth it.
Ooh, well, that's cute.
I know.
I've never seen that doll. Is that Steve's room?
Yeah, it's Steve's room.
Well, it's a dungeon.
He's in there.
It's the dungeon. Steve, what? Why are you curious about Steve's stuff in the dungeon? Yeah.
Anyway.
What about it?
So you going to have a good time in L.A.?
I hope to.
See you in a couple weeks?
You will see me in a couple
I'll
weeks.
I'll be out there.
These goodbyes I'm starting to realize are useless.
Yeah, it's not a goodbye. Oh. It's I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Oh, Bruce's cell phone died. Well, that's okay, Bruce. We love you anyway. and thanks for joining us.
I don't like the music in the background.
It's L.A. Law for Lenny.
I don't like
he's
it.
He's a lawyer, you know.
Don't like it. Don't like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, would you two idiots get out of there?
But anyway, I want daily updates.
Three gentlemen walking.
All right,
Pat,
what's your goodbye?
I want daily updates.
Oh, you want daily updates?
Daily updates of what's going on.
You get daily updates here.
Yeah.
All right. Is Lenny and thank you. Go ahead. Plug your joint one more time. Not that I'm not going to call you during shows out there, but.
I don't need to plug it again.
Okay.
You'll do enough of that out in L.A. for me.
If you send the beef.
I'm bringing
it
with me when I go out there.
You are so fucking bad.
What happened? Terzo farted?
Terzo just shit his pants.
Oh, my God.
Don't fan it this way. Fan it that way.
That is like some skinless chicken. Hold on. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, it went up my nose. Oh, I can taste it.
He's going to squeeze out another one.
Oh, I can taste it. It's deep fried. Oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck. Oh!
He's still going.
Oh. Oh, God.
Well, that's Mike's goodbye.
Oh, God.
You should bottle that and take that to LA.
He just made a Gary Coleman in his pants. He just dropped a Gary Coleman right in his shorts. Woo!
Yeah, that is a woo.
I'm playing some different strokes for that. Different strokes. Different strokes. Different strokes. So
you know what, though?
Lenny, you got a goodbye here? Caesar's got a goodbye.
But, hey,
Caesar Marconi, who has never spoken on this show.
Let him say something.
You have it, one point?
Matt, real quick, though. Have
yeah.
a great time out there.
Thank you,
I'll
Matt.
See you back in February.
Right,
when you move back, I'll see you in February.
I'll be talking to you
all
daily.
Right,
I don't have a life.
Get a place so we can stay somewhere for New Year's, please.
Yeah, I'll have a place.
Thank you.
Okay. And here is Caesar Marconi. He's the boss.
How's it going, man?
Yeah, well, I'm playing your theme.
That's not it.
You're the boss.
Oh, okay. I'm like,
who's the boss? Caesar Marconi's the boss.
Yeah, Caesar Marconi's voice is hurting, but
so what's up, Caesar? Got a goodbye here?
No goodbyes. We're going to keep going.
Well, yeah, we're going to keep going. This isn't the last Carson.
No, it's not, so.
No one has to sing me Bette Midler. Oh, Leonard's here too. Say hi, Lenny. You've never talked to Caesar on the air.
Hello.
Yeah, Lenny used to just call it, and now
actually,
he shows up.
No,
well, he'll be back to call
it. I actually wanted known that of everyone here, me, Terzo, and Caesar were the first ones that were on the show. The first show, not the one that's episode one, but the first one.
Is that
Adam,
true?
Adam. Yeah. Well, that was when Adam and Katie were here.
Yeah.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. Well, no, of everyone here right now.
Oh, everybody here. Yeah.
No, that's you true. Called in too. I called in.
What are we doing tonight?
We're going to Cigars and Stripes.
You still want to do that?
Yeah.
I wanted fucking wings.
I'm saying, do you still want to do that? That's all I'm saying.
Yes, absolutely.
You still on?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're still on.
Hey,
seven more minutes.
Can we get all right. A crew photo before we leave
tonight? That's up to Caesar. He's the boss.
Whatever you guys want to do.
Talking the mic. Caesar.
No rules tonight.
No rules tonight?
No, well,
Mikey, do you got
no
goodbye?
No words, you know.
I do it. But
okay. Since Leonard's goodbye blue, he just took credit for himself. Oh, you got a goodbye too. All right, well, we'll get back to line. He gets to be last.
No, I just actually want to say that in all seriousness, I love everybody here. This experience of being on the show and having a good time has been excellent. It's been something that made looking forward through my weeks. I mean, going to work and getting off and being able to come over here, hang out, have a good time, and just it's been amazing. And,
that's the best goodbye.
And it's going to be something that I'm going to miss. And I'll probably lose.
No, yeah, Missy, you'll be calling it every
I know.
Episode.
I'm probably going to lose some weight because I won't be able to have my friends eat with me anymore. So that may
well
be
you know, if Lenny answers your calls.
Yeah,
or if
well,
he calls
me
you.
And Len will be going
if
out,
Lenny yeah. calls you, you may go out still.
We're
and brother.
I haven't been picking up your phone lately either,
pal.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness, no. And
what are you talking
and,
about?
And
I answer the phone all the time.
Bullshit.
So, in any event, I just want to say that thank you to everybody here for making my life a little bit more enjoyable, and thank you to all our guests for giving us the show that we can have fun.
You make my
listening.
Life more enjoyable.
I appreciate
Mikey.
That a lot.
I've already told you this, but I am going. You're impossible to replace. I won't find anyone in L.A. like Mike Turzo.
I don't think we'll find anything like any of us.
Impossible.
In
anybody here.
You know what? I got to say, you know what? I've been fortunate in my life to know a lot of
people. I don't
know.
There's a lot of unfunny comedians in L.A. I can replace Lee. Oh, he's coming with. He's coming with.
So, no.
All right. So, my meeting with Paulie Shore, I could cancel.
Anyway, so we're all pretty interesting people. We got great personalities, and I think we're fortunate that we all can hang out together. Because when we hang out with other
maybe
people,
one day
Bieber
will get a personality too.
Shit, you okay? Jesus Christ, did he fall off?
Did it come back?
Out of
Luigi?
The chair?
Did he?
What happened?
No, I didn't fall. You would have fallen off the chair, not Luigi. Well, he's on the other side of the room.
I love how Mikey says you would have fallen off the chair if I farted.
He was over there impersonating me, and then he just fell off the chair.
Oh, he was impersonating?
Which I've never done, by the way. I never fall.
That's what we call karma.
Did you break my headphones?
Two eyes.
Yeah, Luigi with two eyes, yeah.
Two eyes, karma.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, by the way, hold on. Since I know we have some listeners here, I want to say to a Mrs. Karen Martisek, thank you so graciously
absolutely.
For letting us use your basement, trample through your kitchen, late hours, dogs barking, Mr. Martisek as well. We love you. I hope to have some of your cooking one day. And I still have one question for you that Matt has never been able to answer for me, is why you are with the Beatles on tour and you're on the poster, and Matt has no idea why, and I'd like to know. So thank you so much, sweetheart. We love you.
I'll cut in on that one, too. I got to thank your mom for letting us come to the house all the time.
I remember coming through
the back door through the porch one time. I scared the crap
out
of her.
She's a classy broad.
I thought she was going to kill me, so I thank her for that, too.
Leonard, you got anything? Other than the time we gave you a boner with Dina Martin?
Well, that.
Yeah.
But from Dina Martin to Chaz Palminteri.
Oh, yeah, Chaz.
To Gary Sinise.
God, Gary.
Think about some of the people he's had on this show.
Yeah, we've had some decent people.
I mean, people like you shouldn't be interviewing these people because they're actually credible sources and they're actually going somewhere in life. You, I have my doubts on.
Most of them go to Bruce.
So, yeah, that's
with his Dennis Leary's and
around?
Mikey J. Fox. His cell phone died. He was enjoying it so much. He has to talk about the show away from the kids.
The kids can't
listen to this show. Well, he's still a BlackBerry man. That's why.
So all I have to say to you is thank you for letting us be a part of the show and enjoying it.
You'll still be.
And
get a place in L.A.
You have to pack.
Yeah, and I have to also see Sherry Baker. I have to go see Bieber's mother tomorrow. She's going to size me up.
Oh, I heard about this.
She's going to size me up.
We should go. I'll be Matt.
Matt.
It's almost as good as Chuck.
Hey,
I'm in the big red team.
That's pretty good.
Hey, that's pretty good.
What about Nick? I think I'm out of this thing. I don't have to go. Do I gotta go? Oh, I have to go. All right, I have to go.
Hey, Tobias doesn't want to call in.
Your mom's gonna ask so many questions. It's gonna be so weird. She's gonna be
Tobias?
Like, so what does Nick do on this show?
We never met Tobias.
Or she'll be like.
Are you in a relationship with my son?
Oh!
That is exactly what I was thinking.
He just called me a mo.
You might have to show some of those pictures on your phone to your mother, because just to make sure that she knows that.
The porn convention?
You know.
Who remembers the fun time?
Oh,
there?
My God. Oh,
hey, how about Ron Jeremy? I'm not talking about Matt.
By the way, Bruce Brett said... Bruce Fred said, by the way, that tonight was his version of the Sopranos series finale. He cut out right at the end.
Forgot.
Tom's at the Jersey Transit System every morning.
I know.
I look on his Facebook to see if he's...
Are you happy you're not in Jersey?
No, because I think I'd have fun.
You'd have a Cadillac driving around?
Fuck yeah. Absolutely. Why
you wouldn't take the transit? You and I are in public transportation, guys, huh?
Too sweaty.
When's the last time you took the L, in all honesty?
Probably junior high school.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, junior college.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll be back in about a week and a half. We'll
Thanks
have a new
again,
show.
Man. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Let's go
there,
Cigars
man.
And... Let's go Cigars and Stripes and get our balls busted by Ronnie.
We're all getting laid.
Are we all getting laid?
We're all going to get laid. Car.